Blog Talk Radio.
Fist up for the one that got away. When we left for dead, yeah, the one we gotta stay. Framed by the pigs way back in Jersey. The only thing you really free to do is serve. When you fight for your rights and you stand, watching for the man, pouring drugs to your land, guns in your hand. Yes, man, though, I'm a tell, bro. Don't need open any letters, hit this with a Comatell, bro. Whips and chains, whips and chains. Been around waiting for the shit to change. Your point finger's not acting, just complain. Started didn't fight, just a shit to blame. Kids getting off for murder, nobody pushing it further. Bunch of lost sheep out here looking for a herder. Killed off our leaders, what the fuck you expect? Violence to be the only thing you respect. I watched news clips today. America had always got some shit to say. Terror breeds terror, just drop bombs. Some mothers and their kids, yeah, just today. But shit, I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. So Bobby cut my neck, though they wouldn't shoot they weapons. Seen his mama get the news, yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, the American way, slaying whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a sodder. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a sodder. Whips and chains, the American way, slaying whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a sodder. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a sodder. Crips and blood, pimps and thugs. Nobody kill their brother, nigga, just because you created these conditions. Racism, segregation in L.A. Fed kids on the schools with the hate. Chase the Panthers out the states. Whoa, one go inside a run. Tortured that woman in a cell. Broke her out of jail. Now you wanna spread propaganda, but we woke up. No more for you to sell. Devils go to hell. Fred Hampton, the inner city. Building unity with gangs. They working with it. CIA agents. Everything they could to flood the hoods with heroin. At the same time, snatch away our heroines. But I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Drug Fred fell asleep inside his bed. Then they shot him dead, bottle in a sack. Yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, the American way. Plays whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, the American way. Plays whips and chains. Kill Sophie, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill King, kill X, kill Fred.
She escaped, you put a bounty on her head.
Poison water in the air and the food.
We already dead, so what else we got to lose?
Once we realize the power that we have as a people and put our minds together, we unite to defeat you. Question lies they teach you. Don't conform to authority, cause under uniforms, human bonds I bleed to.
No justice, no peace, what the people say. The indie goes, finna go rise and lead the way. 154 got, but where's that for Trayvon, Grant Rice, Mike Brown, and Freddie Gray?
I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Everybody's
known,
now they wanna
sign
and touch us about the revolution, yeah, it's about to start right now.
I have advocated, and I still advocate, revolutionary changes in the structure and in the principles that govern the United States. I advocate self-determination for my people and for all oppressed people inside the United States. I advocate an end to capitalist exploitation, the abolition of racist policies, the eradication of sexism, and the elimination of political repression. If that is a crime, then I am totally guilty.
Get brighter. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Someday, yeah, we'll put it together and we'll get it undone. Someday, when your head is much lighter. Someday, yeah, we'll walk in the rays of a beautiful.
Now that we found love, what
Tonight, the Sheikh Al Imam Akbar Abdullah Kareem. I'm absolutely in the city of Washington, D.C., and I know you're in a geographical location that, hey, you'll disclose at a later time. But welcome to Black Power Radio, brothers and sisters. I want to welcome you, and each and every one of you to yet another episode of Black Power Radio. We're going to talk tonight about cooperative economics and the Black Youth Mentorship. So many of you have been in this Black Power and Black Youth Mentorship, and we're going to have guests tonight. We just want you to buckle your seatbelts and hold on, because what? Help is on the way. If you ever get at the end of your rope, always know that help is on the way. And that is for the righteous. If that's for the wicked, they don't stand a chance at this hour. That's being straight up, close, and personal. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful benefactor, the most merciful redeemer. All praise is due to Allah, the guardian, the evolver, the cherisher, and the sustainer of all of the worlds. I bear witness there's none deserving the rights of worship, and there is none deserving the right for us to be conformed to except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High God. Of course, you say Yahweh Elohim. And of course, he says Jehovah, ever named by language, by description, by whatever geographical location, culturally or intellectually. Whatever stimulates your mind tonight, brother and sister, we just want you to know that there is but one originator of the heavens and the earth, regardless of land, language, regardless of nationality. We have no power, no source of government that sustains the complete and the full universe except the power of the one God who started the process of government throughout the heavens and the earth. So we hope that you are endowed with good spirit tonight, and God endowed with your knowledge and with your pants on the upright position. I mean, Some of you got a flag and a swag. Well, by whatever means you're wearing your pants tonight, make sure you buckle your seatbelts and hold on to those pants. And you hope keep them up as least close to the waistline as possible. But if you like the way I'm slagging and wagging, I can't really give you no explanation because those are your pants. But keep in mind, brother and sister, there are so many of us that are in need of knowledge, wisdom, a complete comprehension, understanding, overstanding by whatever means you convey your knowledge. Some convey overstanding. Some convey understanding. But be sure you comprehend, brother and sister, the wisdom and knowledge that will be conveyed to you tonight via Black Power Radio, an awesome network started about 11 years ago, and we have been consistent in bringing you knowledge to the point that we have become the most informative radio talk show on the internet. And we challenge all of the above, and we have no problem meeting or matching, but we will not allow them to beat us tonight. So welcome to Black Power Radio, brother and sister, Cooperative Economics, and we're going to talk tonight about encouraging our black youth to strive, to thrive, and to produce better results for a different outcome. Now, how about that? Let's get a different outcome. Now, who, what, when, and where? What has the most been responsible for the behaviors and the outlook of our black youth at this hour? And what are the most influential contributing factors to the current state of mind, the current state of affairs, the CSA of black youth today? What are the things now that we are going to turn over to Generation 2 in 2022, or what you call 2022, if you want to be mathematically and grammatically correct at this hour? In 2022, what are you turning over to Generation 2? And what is the proper revolutionary perspective, the PRP, on this whole thing? What, in other words, what is the 411 on the 911, if you will? So come on and bring it live. Those of you who have thoughts on this tonight, want your thoughts front and center right here on Black Power Radio. So we just want to welcome everybody, warming on up. We're going to swing all the way out to that west side, of course, and pick up some more of the Black Power hosts that are right on that west side. We've got two coming out of Los Angeles, Dr. Truth Bay. We've got us some Nakisha, oh my. Nakisha Scott is a mentor who's bringing some strong cooperative economic plans to black youth, especially the girls, but I don't think she's too shy to share with some of our boys who need mentorship. And we have done that work for, there are about 7 years working with the black youth of D.C., and all I can say is we all could stand a little more help. Coast to coast from you on that east side or that west side, we're going to bring it up live right now to our host for the evening. He's shaking out right on that west side, from Leimert Park to San Fernando Valley, from Sepulveda to West Hollywood. We're going to bring us up some Dr. Truth Bay right out there on the 323 and 884. Welcome to Black Power Radio. Truth Bay, salam alaikum and black power. I guess that's black
power.
Power
to the people.
Power to the people. And to the weeple, Black Power.
My God, we got a full evening packed today. We have a very special guest. And, yes, we are focusing on our youth, specifically our young girls, our young queens, our young princesses. What is the role? What is their protection? What is their future in the hood? That's going to be our main topic tonight. And I'm so grateful to have one of the most prestigious community activists in the city of where I live, in West Athens, South Los Angeles, a lot of history there. So, Imam, before we go to our show, what do you think our young girls in particular, you know, think that we need today more than ever from our young men, our young kings in the waiting? How do we say that we can pray for protection and move forward for our youth in that sense?
Well, there are two factors that you and Dr. Nakisha and all of those that have weighed in, the facts that they remain. We need to support the concept of getting vocational trades over to our young men, whether they are in a high school or collegiate program, in a university, or in a community college. We need to get vocational trades over to our young men, and our women have to spend at least 1 year in some form of domestic training. The Congress steadied us. The Congress and the Senate steadied us, and cleverly under Reagan and Clinton took out all of the home economic systems and vocational and the free ed that was getting us over the hump and producing jobs and businesses for self in the hood. They cut off every possibility of putting jobs and trades in the hood. Mama took a little bit of home ec, she could mix some cupcakes and some lemonade and make it. She was pregnant with a baby boy, have a little prenatal, go down to the black coffee corner and pick up some prenatal care. But right now, we are nowhere. We black men are responsible, and black women have to coach and get those trays and home ec right back to our black children, black power.
Right. My power. All right, so let's get into it, Sister Sundays, the JDAF Spin.
Hop on in, bunnies, the JDAF Spin, where we discuss urban issues pressing America. Data, action, facts, truth, with a little bit of justice wrapped in a warm, fuzzy ball. And I'm your host, TJ Fad, the bunny with the gas man. And I have my mask on extra tight today because injustice stinks to high heaven, my friends. What's going on, America? The J-Gas Spin.
This tragic week, before we continue, we have our local news and our national news concerning the Build Back Better plan. But right before then, tragedy has struck this Saturday, January 2nd. We have 26-year-old Ian Alexander Jr., who is the son of our beloved actress Regina King, who passed away during suicide 2 days after his birthday. So we want to pass 1 minute of remembrance in a young budding musician who had everything ahead of him, tragically ended his life.
A really sad story out of Hollywood tonight, where tragedy has struck Oscar-winning actress Regina King. Her 26-year-old son, Ian Alexander Jr., her only son, committed suicide just days after his birthday. Alexander was a musician and DJ. He had just released a new single January 7th and had performances scheduled in L.A. later this month. His father and King's ex-husband is record producer Ian Alexander. The family saying in a statement that Ian was a bright light who cared deeply about the happy.
And so we want to send our condolences to the King family, especially when you have a young prince who had everything going for him. Mental health, I tell you, is something that we got to really look into. And our young people's soul are primary. So, again, we send our prayers and condolences to the King family. And at this time, now in national news, the Build Back Better update, that's something, the $1.75 trillion budget that was supposed to be dispersed according to the needs of the community, is now being split to two ways, according to Biden. And those two ways, check this out, family, half of it is going to be dedicated to reparations. Got you right there. Absolutely not. It's going to climate change. That's right. That's your president that you voted for. So keep in mind, for our family, let's take a look at what is happening with our governance and how this Build Back Better has nothing to do with our community. $1.7 trillion and half of it going to the climate. I tell you, they are no closer to reparations or figuring out anything for the black community at this point in time. Imam, what do you say about this Build Back Better and how half of it is going into climate change.
I'm just giving you every hint possible that Joe Biden is not even remotely concerned about anything to connect to black people, anything remotely close to us getting free for ourselves or voting, right, wrong. It's an act. It's all an act. Trust me. It's a bill, and they're billing us. A smart prayers would have just concentrated on the diesel and fuel prices to ship the food and allow the vice to run the goddamn COVID. It's not that job of that prayers to do that. But nevertheless, Roberts, chief justice, this is the chief of all jurists over the Supreme Court, which is your total interest in justice. Well, Roberts, the chief justice of jurists of this time, of this hour, not of Thurgood Marshall's hour, of this hour, has set a ruling in place which prevents the Voting Act from ever coming about anyhow. Please say, a politically astute brother and sister, that this is all act. Pelosi not remotely concerned about a black vote. Matter of fact, she wanted to choke the shit out of reparations like she did John Conyers. Choked him out, threw him out the goddamn Congress, and that was your reparations. That, I don't mind saying it's your very last hope, but that was your last strong position constitutionally, legally, and congressionally, judicially. That was your last post with the H.R. House bill. That's right. House of Representatives Bill 40, H.R. goddamn it 40, got booted out when Nancy Pelosi booted out John Conyers, and he died in a few days after having a sexual allegation. So be up to date, brother and sister. Please know your politics. Study, investigate. And you see, the only difference between Trump and Biden is that one is a cracker from Pennsylvania and the other cracker from goddamn it New York. So be smart, brother and sister. Cotto, just from Georgia, just another cracker from Georgia. This stuff means nothing. As long as there's white globalization, they'll tell you publicly they're against Carter, they're against this one, Reaganites, and against Trumpites, and against Biden. But all them goddamn crackers is together to stop the melanated man from rising up and going free for yourself. As Dr. Collett told me, that, hey, the black man's rise is the white man's demise and black power.
Black power. Very well said. Now imagine, you are a person born and raised in your city. That's all you know. You ran the streets, slang a little dope here and there, but you nothing major, but you just became a product of your neighborhood. All that street experience and that street life, and you wanted to make a change in your community. And so you did. So imagine if you took all of your past street experiences and decided to run for office in your city. It could be city council. It could be state governor. It could be the mayor. But whatever it is, you went and did the proper procedure. Get the signatures going. Get the campaign going. And here you are finally on that ballot. Now imagine the day of the election between you and a unknown person that's not even from your community is running against you. And in the end, your work, your birth in that very same city, the blood, sweat, and tears, the children you raised, the family and the grandmama and them that's in that same city that you were born and raised in is overlooked and overshadowed. And the person that came out of nowhere that's not even from your neighborhood is the actual chairperson and wins the election. Imagine that. Oh, but there's no need to imagine because our next guest coming up experienced just that. Name is Nakisha Scott, a.k.a. Mama Boo Boo from Athens Park. And before we have her on the show, I want you to listen to this. And later on, we're going to actually have the actual city council meeting in which this extraordinary young lady grew up to actually be a part of, only to be sideswiped. So we're going to have to spend about 10 minutes for you to actually be in the council chambers of an actual council meeting. And you will hear for yourself, family, was this election process fair for a woman who is well known in the community and wants to make a change and has been doing so even to this day?
That's right. That's right.
Hey, I am Mama Woo. I am, you guys may know me from Essence Park. However, I'm a mother, an entrepreneur. I have a nonprofit as well as a motorcycle club as well as I have a YouTube channel. So, I mean, I'm a woman of many hats.
That's right. A woman of many hats. And we can't say it enough. So do we have, Shanky Mom, our fabulous, wonderful woman of the year, Miss Nakisha Scott?
I believe you can have us some Nakisha.
Hello?
Scott. If you could pass that word on to her to please press 1, and she'll be right in your queue, Dr. Truth Bay.
Ask
your guest to press that 1, and they will be right on the keypad. Please press 1, and you'll be at the top of the queue. I want to welcome you, our beloved sister, Nakisha Scott, Black Power.
Yes, hello.
Please press 1.
Yeah! We got Mama Boo in the building.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we
yes,
can.
Can you press, okay, good. Can you press 1, please?
Okay.
Yeah.
Press 1 on your keyboard. That sends you up to the top. And that's Black Power, and you're live on Black Power Radio.
All right.
Hey, everyone.
Welcome, yeah,
America, at home.
Thank
now,
you.
Being from Athens, or West Athens, this is the city I live in, so this is personal to me that I have someone of your caliber on our show today to give the world an eye of South Los Angeles and what it's really about. So tell you, Mama Boo, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your listening audience? What and who art thou?
Yes, I am a mother of 3. My oldest is in the military. She's in the Navy. I have an 18-year-old that I've recently sent out of state due to all the gang violence within our community. And I'm a mother of a 13-year-old that plays football. I have a nonprofit where I mentor and counsel young girls at risk, as well as I pass out food to my community every Saturday and have been doing that for approximately a little over a year. As you guys heard, I wouldn't have mentioned it, but I do have a motorcycle club that I've started. Have a YouTube channel where I interview different people as well as celebrities. I mean, I have a lot of things that's going on.
Right
and
on.
I've been in this community for well over 36 years. I moved into this community when I was 6 years old, and I've been here ever since.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about growing up in Athens Park. Gang truce is one of the major things, especially in that era. What exactly was like growing up in Athens?
For me, it was a lot growing up. My mother, she was on drugs. My father stayed in the penitentiary for many years. When he got out, when I was 11, he got murdered at 12. So I was a kid basically growing up in Athens Park, couldn't read or write up to part due to the lack of in my household. So I was a violent kid based on not wanting people to know that I couldn't read and write. So my response to being at school was being disruptive. So that was pretty much my life. I graduated from Centennial Class of 99. Once again, the system just pushed me through the system because I was never up to par in any grade that I can think of. And they just pushed me through the system. And I did graduate, though. And from there, a couple of years later, I had my daughter and took myself back to school for a medical assistant. I worked with elders from that time for about 15 years, worked with elders with Alzheimer's and dementia up until approximately 4 years ago where I started my own business. And from then, I've been working for myself.
Brother Abdullah's online.
Oh, right on. All right. Assistant Nakisha, we usually have our brothers calling from behind the wall. And anytime they come in, we want to give them priority. So, Brother Abdullah, are you on the line?
Yes. Peace, Black Power to all of y'all out there. And I want to give all I want to give everybody to make a prayer and blessing for our comrade in arms, Brother Quran. Hope he gets better. And, you know, I hope he gets better. And I hope he come back to action. That's all. Black power.
Black power, sir.
Power to the people. Yes. Thank you for the update. So we definitely appreciate our brothers, especially those political prisoners, our brothers who are incarcerated, always gets priority because that's, you know, that's our family. And many of us are affected by it. So, again, thank you for allowing him to call in. So speaking of incarceration, yeah, so growing up, how can we say incarcerated has affected us, how the street life, how right now, currently growing up, if there were other choices, were you have made or changed, or would you have reached this point in time in life, had things been different?
That's one of the things that I juggle with all the time, that I wish things were different just to have more of an understanding of what was going on around me. Now, everyone knows someone that's illiterate. You really don't understand what's going on, just as simple as people having conversations around you and you don't know the definition of the words that they're using because you have no education. And I do know, as far as in pertaining to the neighborhood, I wouldn't say that I would want to change anything other than the violence, because everything that I went through made me who I am. So I wouldn't say I would change anything, because I would not be this person on the phone talking to you.
Right on, right on. That's like you, who you are. So you say in the days of Centennial, what transitioned, or were you someone that was actively, let's say, gangbanging back in the day? Or would you call it being in the groups? Tell us a little bit about that, because I know your dad was a bounty hunter, right?
Yes.
Okay. And how did that affect your life and growing up in the hood?
Pertaining to my dad, didn't anything affect my life because he wasn't home, so I was, you know, like never with him in his neighborhood or anything like that. When he did come home, he did not take me. So pertaining to him, didn't any of that affect me. I started gangbanging about ninth grade, just being disruptive, more so what I call it monkey see, monkey do, and not having structure and love in the household. I felt that what I was going through and the people that was around me was giving me love. So I gravitated to that. On top of, it was a lot of conflict with me within myself that made me angry. So being out there in the streets and gangbanging, that was just right up my alley, because I didn't have no one else to sit me down and show me a different road or just talk to me. So yes, gangbanging was a part of my life for years, very heavily.
And now, was there any female role models? Because you know, your mom, you said your mom was there, even though she lived in the same complex. Does she still live in the same location?
Yeah, she's in the same location.
Okay. Now, what was your female role models? Did you have any female or role models that you looked up to at the time?
For the most part, no. No, because I didn't dig into the books or dig into people's backgrounds to see who they really was, other than a flash on TV. I mean, everyone have to understand, when you're illiterate, it is a lot of things you miss. It is a whole lot of things that you miss that had you been not illiterate, you would have caught. No, I didn't have any role models other than different female rappers that was out around that time. And I used to rap as well, and I still rap here and there. But my only idols or people that I looked up to was people on TV that was rapping. And to look back at that, they wasn't rapping about nothing positive. So my whole everything was negative, and I was just making the best out of it and being as, how can I say, more of a leader than a follower with any and everything I did. So I was not one to be played with.
Right. Right on. And you did a tremendous job putting together a great and much-needed nonprofit organization, Live Your Life. Tell us how we got to that point in mentoring young girls.
I've always done it throughout my daughter being in school, whether it was her basketball team. I would go out and be assistant coach, or, you know, pretend to be assistant coach. So I was always around the young girls trying to give them good advice and being on their heads where Some teachers are uncomfortable being on their heads, but me coming from me looking like them, as well as my daughter going to the school, they kind of gravitated to me all the time. And I've noticed this, I would say, when she was in middle school. That's when I really stepped up and started talking to her friends about different stuff. So when it came about for me to get my nonprofit, I had just went through some stuff and didn't want to do my in-home care agency that I had. I did have an in-home care agency at one point where I had 10 clients and 3 women working for me. And the main thing with in-home care is to be reliable. My workers were not reliable, and it affected me because I care deeply about my grandmas and grandpas who I take care of. And so with that transition, I'm like, what else is it that I need to do? Because I've always felt like I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, that it's something that I just haven't figured out yet. And so with that, I started my nonprofit to help and mentor teen and young women at risk to be to them who I needed when I was out there. So that stemmed and sparked the whole everything pertaining to the nonprofit.
Right on. And you made this great video. We're going to play it right now for our audience. Oh, Flip It. You know, tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind that.
When that video came about, a guy from the UK reached out to me via social media and wanted me to be a part of his project. I don't know how this man knew I could rap, and I have not rapped in years, but he reached out to me via social media, and he had a, I think it's a soundtrack. It's a soundtrack to a movie over in the UK. And he sent me a track that was only like a minute, a little over a minute long. So we kind of stretched it out. And that's how that came about. And it was during the time with everything going on with Floyd. So it was very touching for me to actually write that. And I didn't want to be too racial in there. However, I wanted to say what I wanted to say, but not, how can I say it? It was more me trying not to do too much and cause too much attention, but get my point across.
Right on. And so let's listen to it right now.
Oh, Lord.
Busting the nutty, you showing no fear. Mad dog 2020, I'm hot in a motherfucker. Tell it real ass, I'm things like a life is a joke. Let me flip it and pop it and hang your ass with a rope. Yeah, let me flip it and pop it and hang your ass with a rope. My everyday thing is being a boss and a mother. That thing will try to put a rule on the map. But don't get it twisted, I will clap back with no strings attached. Coming in and coming in, you know we not running when I need you. Without a house of respect, ain't no kissing me in the suit, no pity for the fool. Black will not be shot. Black Lives Matter terminated your case. Hands in your pocket, fuck it, time to rock against the organization. Stop playing and win. Let me flip it and
flop it. All right, let me flip it and flop it. I'll say Black Lives Matter. Oh, my God. The symbolism. If you didn't see the video, you need to go on her channel, Mama Boo Boo. You have a YouTube channel, right?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit where they can find your work and your show?
Yes. On my YouTube channel is MOMABOOBOO, and you will see a variety of different videos from me with my kids, my food giveaways, my mentoring program. I have a lot of interviews that I've done with different celebrities, comedians, different people. So it's just, if you were to go to my YouTube channel, you would be able to actually see who I am.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And you just Google Mama Boo or Mama Boo Boo. You will actually see her life's work and Kev Mack and a lot of these interviewers. Can you tell us a little bit about the people that you've interviewed in the past and those you want to interview in the future?
The people I interviewed in the past, just to name a few, I've interviewed legendary DJs, comedian, rappers, just regular people, a female artist that was out. Well, I wouldn't even say that was out. She's still very much relevant, but everybody mostly know her from being with Ice Cube. I did interview DJ Chris the Glove at his studio. I mean, it's a lot. I can't even think of it all right now because my brain is kind of like pinging everywhere. But, yeah, if you just go to the YouTube channel, then you'll be able to see the different celebrities and different regular people I've interviewed. I kind of have stopped with the interviews a little bit because I've been more focused on getting my nonprofit where I want it, at least on the first steps of where I want it beyond where I am now. So I haven't been interviewing lately. A lot of people have been contacting me to be interviewed, like different people that's getting out the penitentiary that has done 20-plus years. I've had someone that hit me up that I think he just got out done 30 years. But I don't want to turn my platform into that type of platform. There's so many of those platforms out there that I choose not to do that. I'm just going to keep it as far as in entertainers or people that I'm curious in. And leave the Cavmax and the Street Gangs and the Gangsta Chronicles. I leave that to them because I've all been on all of those platforms. So, I mean, to Google me, you will see all different types of stuff because I've been on some of the major gang platforms, speaking from a woman's perspective, one of the only females that are on a lot of these platforms, because I would say with Street Gangs, if I'm not mistaken, is maybe three of us that has done an interview, Cavmax. I will say about four, Gangsta Chronicles. I would say I was the first or the second, I think the second. So it's a lot that I would encourage women to speak about their shortcomings and their acting up mindset stages. I would say to speak about that because you have so many of these men that speak about theirs, and us as women, we don't. We tend to not want to say anything, and I believe that the power is in speaking your truth and your testimony and helping someone else.
Right, and you said something very powerful. A lot of these young girls, they have gone through trauma. They have gone through rape. They have gone through a lot of issues within the family, and so those issues may have not been addressed. Can you tell us a little bit about how we can focus more on preventing the silent treatment when it comes to trauma with our young girls who have been abused?
That's a hard one because majority of the young women that are abused that I run into and that I went to school with that I know about are people that's friend of family, you know, that I know about. You have to take it to perspective that majority of the time when a young girl is abused is by somebody close to them. It's not going to really too much be a stranger. It's going to be someone that has access to this young woman. And then it comes with the family with not protecting this young woman once it happened and your uncle is still at Thanksgiving dinner with you and everyone is acting as if we're going to just keep it on hush-hush and not caring about what this young person is going through, turmoil that they're going through now that they're learning that what happened to them was wrong, but my family are not seeing it as wrong, and I'm kind of being seen as like I did something wrong. So the mothers and the grandmothers and the fathers and the grandpas need to really step up when something like that happened and do something about it and protect that kid, because what happens a lot of the times is they go through this, and about 14, 15, they start acting up, running away, on drugs, being very sexual around the community, and then we blame that kid for what she's doing. When had you corrected the issue when it happened, she wouldn't even be on that page. So my personal opinion, a lot of things that's going on with these young girls is our fault as parents and guardians, period.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's so powerful. So we definitely got to change the way we communicate with each other, and if you see something, when they say something, a lot of our kids can't communicate in that sense. So it's very important that we do place ways that they can feel comfortable and say, well, I have someone that I can look up to, that I can tell or I can speak to when issues happen. That internal trauma, right? It's a killer for us, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And as we come together, especially as Black women, is something, a sisterhood that we need to really focus on and complete in order for us to get through a lot of the past trauma. We're all we got, you know? I just wish that we can do that as in a whole, in the long run. Now, we want to fast forward because we do have a specific city council election that we're going to play. Now, tell us now the interest and how you actually ran for neighborhood council.
Okay, well, in February of last year, in the apartment complex where my mother still lives, where I grew up at, It had been at that time, I believe it was 4 murders within the last year and a half at that time. So what really just sparked my interest to even get or contact the neighborhood council was a girl that I grew up with. She got murdered looking out of her window, and her 2 daughters was in the house with her, 14 and a 16-year-old that was in the house with her. They watched their mother die. These are 2 young girls that my kids grew up with. I grew up with her mom. I think her mother been living in apartments before my mother moved in there, so I've been knowing her all my life. And for her to get killed like that and her daughters to see it and witness this, my thing was to go to the neighborhood council and see what resources do we have for these babies that was just traumatized on top of the rest of the little babies that's running around the apartment that has been traumatized through the gun violence. And one of the killings was the guy Rayan that got killed by the police, and they shot him over 30. Well, they shot the car up over 30-something times. Do you know what that sounds like to a little 5-year-old, 7-year-old, 10-year-old? You know what I mean? On top of that was one murder in apartments. My friend murder was the last one before I called in. It was another murder where someone chased a young guy through the apartments and gunned him down. It was another murder on the outskirts of those apartments. So I'm like, what are we doing about the babies? You know what I mean? Because they're over here traumatized on top of COVID is going on. They are not going to school. Parents are getting more and more depressed, which the alcohol and the drug use is going up. So you got depression on top of drugs, on top of traumatization with these little kids. They cannot articulate what they're going through on a level, you get what I'm saying, where you can have a real dialogue with a 7-year-old about what's going on. So my thing was, where's the resources? Where are the resources for counseling, for outreach, anything? What is going on? Because I don't see you guys doing anything. That's what stimulated me talking on the on-call of the neighborhood council. From there, I filled the information out to run for community organization representative, which I didn't get that, but I said that I'm not going to turn a negative in. I'm not going to turn a negative. I'm going to turn a negative into a positive, and not just get up and get mad, because there were things that was going on behind the scenes prior to the vote coming in. And I don't know if a lot of people know that the neighborhood council, the vote in July for Harbor Gateway North, they did not count all the ballots. They never counted all the ballots. I know that for a fact. They never counted the ballots. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, well, these people registered. These are the stakeholders around here. Their vote is valuable. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the reason that we're doing this. And they did not count the votes and just basically said that they threw it on COVID, that they didn't have enough staff or what have you to count the votes. And my thing was, why not back up the results until everything is counted? So that was one thing that I noticed that was going on. Like, that don't even make sense. Like, is that a federal offense? Like, for you not to count the ballots? Like, what is this Trump going on around here? Like, we just gonna stop and head count and say everybody else, we're not gonna even acknowledge who you want on the council. So from there, I got on the bylaws committee. I turned that negative into a positive in my mind. So I got on the bylaws committee, which I am the chair of the bylaws committee, as well as the vice chair of the homeless committee, and I'm on a youth committee. So within this time, I've been, you know, conducting my meetings or what have you, and the chair, well, the then present chair was resigning, so I stepped up to go for a chair based on everything pretty much that the neighborhood council do, are supposed to do. I do it anyway. So it really don't make me or break me to be on the council, because I'm going to do what I want to do and what I've set out to do anyway. But just being on the council to get more of those resources, to be able to see what's going on behind the curtain, to be able to give these resources and different grants and stuff and post different stuff to my community so they don't be in a blind, that was my main focus, to do this for the community, as well as different projects that's coming within the neighborhood that selective people on the board continuously push down to not bring money and funding into the community. But these same buildings and these same people that want to build within the community, they're going to still move in anyway if they have to go around and go through the legal way to get in here, they're going to do it. And when they do it like that, they're not going to fund or, you know, help the community when up front they're saying, okay, this is what we want to do, and this is what we would do to accommodate us coming into your community. So we have these selective board members that always say no, and then in conversation with people are on the board calls, and they're speaking about different shootings up and down their street for, you know, like one lady was saying somebody's been 4 shootings, 2 people killed within the last week on her block. Then other council, where the council people will comment, oh, yeah, you know, those are those misguided kids. Okay, given the thought that those are the misguided kids, what are we doing to prevent them from turning to the streets to be violent, from turning on each other? We don't have no recreation center around here. We don't have anything going on other than my building within our neighborhood that I can think of that's going on pertaining to these kids. And then you're not funding my nonprofit to help these kids. If I want to do it, let me do it. Help me help them. So I have a big issue with the neighborhood council right now, because now that I'm in it, I'm actually starting to see all the fuckery that's going on, and I have a problem with that, because the neighborhood council was supposed to have been built on helping the neighborhood, and a bylaw is supposed to be the rules to help the neighborhood, and they're breaking the bylaws, and people are running the neighborhood council for city preference, for their
right.
own personal preference. They're not doing it for the community. They're doing what they want to do, and at the end of the day, what they want to do is not for the community, and I have a big problem with that.
And I'm so glad that you took it this far to even run on a council board to represent your community the recognized way in what they believe that you should do. And when you do go that route, you actually get underhanded. So what I'd like to do, I'd like for you to stand by. We are actually going to take you into the meeting of the actual city council held in December for the election of our sister Mama Nakisha Scott and a unknown community member. His name is Miguel Vasquez. Miguel Vasquez. And as you can tell by his last name, that he's actually Spanish. Now, is there some callers that may want to come in and ask some questions at the second hour? In the meantime, we're going to take you into the city council chamber. And I want you guys, a black family, to please listen in on the city council chamber. Because a lot of the meetings that's in your town, you need to be on top of it. This is why we express every week that you must know your local governance. You need to know when your city council is meeting. What are they meeting about? What are the issues they're talking about? These are the things that we, as black people, must be at that seat, because we cannot
right.
continue to march in the street and cry injustice if we're not actively involved in our local politics. And that
Absolutely.
Is what New Black Panther for Self-Defense, that's what we started, what the Black Panther for Self-Defense started specifically to deter political infractions that affected the black community. And it's no different than 2022. Right, we must be able to be involved in politics one way or the other to make an effective change collectively. So we're going to take a quick musical break. Once we take the break, we'll head back to the actual city council chambers. And this is exclusive because no radio show is actually going to take you inside a council meeting. But because this is affecting the black community and many candidates or future candidates that want to run for the city council, they have to know what's ahead of them. They have to know that the biases are always going to be there, but there's a way for us to go around it. So let's listen to Quincy White, which is a local artist, and then we'll take back to the city council right here on Black Power Radio.
What did names like Mustafa and Akbar become too hard to spell? My real name is Quincy, and I'm not too fond of that name, so people call me Q or GQ, you know, like a nickname, abbreviation. Well, Quincy, shouldn't you be out stealing hubcaps or something like that? Mentally enslaved, tired of the slaves.
A man without no money is a man with no ambition. I can't deal with niggas that's content with being broke. The type to not drop on his back, but wanna beg to hit my smoke. Kick rocks, gotta pray to God to get in this spot. Hanging with the homies from my hood, and I wasn't hip hop. We all built a condo. Better keep my name about your combo before I send some convicts to your condo. So I ain't put a million up, cause that ain't what I signed for. But you can count a body though for every single rhyme broke. Minutes of society when I just go off. Skinny nigga looking like the bearded old dog. Cop 40, pop a 40, then I show the tape. All gas to that bag, we don't know the break. Whole coast is on my back, but I can hold the weight. Even though I'm underweight, niggas know it's overweight. Woo! Please give me time to breathe. Applying pressure like a pipe down when it's squeezed. This is life, the most venomous bite. You sweeter than cinnamon, me, I live a sinister life. This life as Mr. White.
Load up that chopper, let that bitch off and you gon' need a doctor. You got the poison, we carry the tools. Play with my friend, get
wonderful Mama Boo Boo, a.k.a. Nakisha Scott from Live Your Life Youth Mentoring Program for Girls. Thank you so much for joining us. So, yeah, so Quincy White, tell us a little bit about him. He has some Nipsey vibes going on.
Yeah, I interviewed him a couple of months ago. I haven't posted that interview. He's from my neighborhood. And, yeah, he was, matter of fact, had some songs with Nipsey before Nipsey passed away. So he's a I wouldn't even say up-and-coming artist because he's already out there. But, yeah, he's more one of those artists that's into, how can I say, he's very articulate. He's educated. He's not just a rapper just rapping. So,
right.
Yeah.
And he has a story to tell. That's why I said if you look at Quincy White, same exact build. He even looks like Nipsey, sounds like him. So Nipsey and Quincy definitely is putting the West Coast vibe on what needs to happen. But not only are they rappers, but they're also community advocates, right?
Yes.
And that's what we want to focus on is the work that they do outside of music. All right, so now we are going to local chamber, council chambers, where we are going to listen to the actual election of Nakisha Scott, who was running for the neighborhood council chair.
To accept. Is that correct? Okay. So I call for a motion.
I make a motion that we vote to appoint the new chairperson to fill the vacancy,
and we are voting for either Miguel Vasquez or Nakisha Scott. Thank you.
And Black family, if you hear a woman with an English accent, no, you're not in England. It actually is right here in South L.A.
Who seconded?
Angie.
Thank you, Angie. Okay. Rosalie?
Okay, so when I call your name, you're either voting for Miguel Vasquez or Nikisha Scott or Epstein. Do you want Jacob?
I will wait for the end.
Rosalie Preston, Miguel Vasquez, here at Sarah Clow.
I am Miguel Vasquez.
Keith Cook.
Nikisha Scott.
Next person, Rosalie.
Rosalie fell asleep, ladies and gentlemen, in the middle of the election. Just FYI. She's 80 years old.
You are muted, I think, or you are off.
Okay. Julia Esqueda Arteaga.
Akisha Scott.
Harvey Powell.
Again.
Jodi Span.
No.
Lorenzo Johnson.
Thank you.
William Yates.
Scott.
Kathy Jackson.
Nikisha.
Richard Lee.
Miguel Vasquez.
Elijah Thomas.
Nikisha Scott.
Angela Spring.
Nikisha Scott.
Craig Kusinoki.
Nikisha Scott.
Joe Jacob.
Miguel.
You currently have 7-7.
Now, let me give a backstory. It became a tie, 7-7, as you just heard. Listen to make this tie. I want you to listen very carefully, Black family, and follow along.
Ah, gosh. For filling vacancies, is there a procedure for a tie? If not, Joan Jacobs, can you screen share headsortails.com? And it can be decided that way.
Okay, we're going to pause right there. Now, the administrator stated headsortails.com. I want to rewind that because it's an important point in why this election did not go the way it should have.
Can I speak?
Oh, sorry. Oh, there. Now, can you tell us, Nikisha, while we get there, what was going on through your mind at that time when you heard there was a tie?
How did that happen?
Yeah, what was going on through your mind at that moment when they say there was a tie before they went to headsortails.com?
That's what I was thinking, like, how did that happen? Like, don't no one even know Miguel? Who is Miguel? You know, it was just more like, what just happened? Matter of fact, what, 2 or 3 days prior to that actual meeting, it was a Winter Wonderland event for the neighborhood council, which, of course, I had a booth there. Miguel wasn't even there. Like, it was just like, where and who is he?
Right. And they asked that question.
One time, yeah, but one thing about it is he's their personal preference. That's who
right.
he is, and that's where he came from. They know
absolutely.
For a fact that I'm not going to get on the council and do what you guys have been saying to do, because that's not doing anything. So they
right.
knew that from beginning. So I was never their personal preference for the ones that are playing these games to keep the community toe up, for lack of word, right now.
Absolutely. And you made a very important point that once you would get in, you would actually make changes for your community, that the needs that your community is requesting. And that, Black
right.
family, I want you to keep that in mind. This is what we have with current politics. So anyone who's running for office, once they get in all the way and they get elected, you have to really think, are they going to be available and fighting for my community before the election?
Right.
All right, so keep that in mind. Let's continue.
Headsortails.com.
And I want you guys, Black family, if you can, look up headsortails.com. Headsortails.com, and let me know what you find.
And it can be decided that way for decisions when tied.
So can the committee come in on this?
No.
This is the board to fill vacancy.
So it's only the board?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, the maintenance.
A lot of people.
That was Barbara. I will assign heads and tails to Barbara.
She said she would assign heads or tails to Barbara. Mind you, the person that's running for the seat is Nakisha Scott, not Barbara. So that tells you a lot of the people that even remember your name when you come from a certain melanated persuasion, so to speak.
Just in the order of presentation. There's Nakisha. Oh, I'm so sorry, Nakisha. I mind. I do apologize. Yes, thank you, Nakisha. I would sign.
I was trying not to say anything at that point.
Yes, and I was highly upset.
I never said anything throughout the wrong calling of the name, nothing.
Right, right. But they don't even remember.
Okay, I'm going to click on the button for heads or tails. I want this to test to see if everyone can see it. This is the website, heads or tails. Whatever it lands on, and whoever's applying that will be the chairperson to break the tie. Who wants to find heads?
Heads. This assigns to Miguel.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Is there a way that we can do 2 out of 3? Because I don't believe that. It didn't even flip as many times as the other.
Okay.
It hands it twice.
Okay. And that's what we got. Do you see it?
Oh, my
God. I don't believe it.
Not cheat. That's the best way to handle it. That's what I would think. Purposes. She just read the bylaws where it says a neutral third party has to flip a coin. There is nowhere it says that you use a virtual website that doesn't exist to flip a coin. So this is the method they use in this particular election.
It said that we can ask for a motion for a table, and our motion will be the table. Can Mayor interject?
Yes, certainly. Well, I mean, I clearly read the bylaws.
And my family, this is Miguel Vasquez, the one that actually is the other candidate that has done nothing in the community. This is him speaking right now.
Ever since when I was running as candidate for chairman, and it clearly states that to break a tie, there has to be a coin flip, and that has occurred. And those two coin flips were in my favor. However, I don't understand why some members of the board are adamant about my are questioning my victory as chairperson. And I find it kind of unprofessional. If you guys want to, like, you know, help the community,
it's not good. It's not a good image for you guys to break up the bylaws,
Okay. I think we need to all work together, as has been said before. And if it should be that you still come out, if we do vote to table.
Yeah, I know. I understand that, Joan. The thing is that we're going to work together. We have to accept the results. And the result was that I won. And clearly, I'm willing to work with you guys, even though you don't approve of my win as chairperson. But it's clearly unprofessional. I mean, the rule stated that, if there's tie, there has to be points left, and I won those 2 points left out of three, that one of the board members were adamant about proposing a 2 out of 3 points left, and I won those two. And now, since Freddie Cooper Ames, verified that, there were some people from the board that, were still questioning that, which I don't know why.
I understand,
but the thing is that if we're going through...
For to table it, because in the coins that I was afforded at all, it's not unprofessional. You help me get order in this meeting? Freddie, would you like order in this meeting?
All right. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen and folks. Everyone has been muted right now, just so that there can be some forum as to...
Now, you see that tactic? The moment that we spoke up and started pointing the obvious, we all were muted. What's going on through your mind at this point, Nikisha?
Oh, this is all bullcrap. This is total bullcrap. And I'm just quiet now because I'm thinking I'm not on the board. So the board has to talk. Me over here talking, trying to be chair, and they just did this unethical. It was just totally to the left. So at this point, I'm quiet so the board could talk, because those are the ones who opinions and motions matters. Mine doesn't at this point.
Got it.
So I'm just at this point hoping that they open their mouth, and they did. They clearly did. He said that for the next meeting, it could be tabled if they come and ask for it to be tabled,
which we did. Yeah.
Which they did.
Which they did.
Which, matter of fact, what they did is they put a new agenda up for a meeting for December the 30th. I got the email. Everyone that voted for me did not get that email. Did none of them get that email. But I let all of them know that it's a board meeting on the 30th, and they all came to the board meeting, and that board meeting was basically putting an agenda together for January the 11th. Actual board meeting. Matter of fact, that December the 30th was a special executive like emergency board meeting. And the people came on and asked again for it to be tabled and for it to be put on the agenda in the section where we were speaking on about the agenda for the January 11th meeting. They said that then in the meeting. And then they proceeded to say the majority have to write in case of a vote, if one of them want to change their mind. And a guy on the phone who's a part of Neighborhood Council, board, he specifically said it was a tie.
Mm-hmm.
It was a tie. It's not a majority. How is this word majority basically getting in here? It was a tie. And they just ran over him. They just ran over what they do, just as y'all hearing them do this now. They just did that for that December the 30th meeting, and then a January 11th meeting, they just feel like, we still don't hear you at this point.
Right.
Letters have been written in. I have written a letter in for the unfairness of the vote. I mean, not the vote, but the coin flip. The board member, all seven of them wrote in. They did say on the December the 30th meeting for at least four, if I'm not mistaken, to write in, and they'll consider it. All seven wrote in, and they just recently got information back saying that they are going to basically stick with, I can't say exactly what the letter said, but basically they're going to stick with the vote, and that in order for it to be considered for a reconsideration, the majority, here we go at this word, majority again, where is the majority coming from? It was never a majority. If it was a majority, we would have never went to the fake coin flip.
Right.
So now they're basically saying that we're just going to keep it the way it is and just move on with how we're going to do it. Absolutely not. No.
That's what they did. Right. So that's why I ask you, Black family, to look up headsortails.com, because this is illegal in itself. This is just the local level. Now, if they are this corrupt at the local level, can you imagine what they do at the city, at the state, and especially the federal level? Come on. You got dirty hands. So let's listen to the rest of this council and see how it ends, and then we'll get the rest of our commentary from our guest, Nakisha Scott.
He did state that under the elections, part of tiebreaker would be flipping your coin. The website that was shared was headsortails.com, which has been used in past elections to determine tiebreakers. So this website is known just for flipping.
If you heard someone laughing, it was me. I was laughing at the time he said headsortails.com, and I still think it's funny now because headsortails.com, again, does not exist. I want to reiterate this because politics, again, Black family, is so easy to conquer. When you have the oppressor since 1776 telling you how you need to live, created laws and the Constitution that they said we have to follow to this day, and it had none of our ancestors, not one, was even recognized as a human enough to write in this Constitution. This is the one that they say all of us have to follow. And yet, we are not included in these current elections fairly. And I'm so grateful for the work that Nakisha Scott has done, because this is exactly the work that I do as well, working for my community to focus on housing, to focus on youth programs, to focus on alleviating the homeless. And when you have done it the right way, submitting proposals, attending these meetings, writing grants, and they still find a way because of your skin, because of where you grew up, that they hold these things against you and say, no, you're not getting any funding to help better your community. This is why we have to separate. This is why we have to create our own system in order to generate our own dollars and keep it in our own neighborhoods, because they don't care about us. I think Michael Jackson said it better. Best. They don't care about us.
No.
What do you say about this?
What do I say about it is I've never seen it so clear in my face, direct to me, about me, ever, until this. Now, of course, being a Black woman, I've experienced, you know, different things throughout my life, but as direct and clear as this was, I've never witnessed this with something that I actually wanted to better the community. This wasn't nothing that I wanted for a personal gratification or personal nothing. This is for the community. And it's like one of the things, like, I can't believe that I can't even help fix, even in a situation like this, that we're not even getting paid for this. This is ground zero level. This is ground level where whatever is needed, we are the people to get connect to the resources outside and pull it in to the ground level. We're not up in Congress, you know what I'm saying, where we're not dealing with the babies that need something to eat every day. I'm dealing with this every Saturday. Mm-hmm. I haven't missed a day in a year. You get what I'm saying, where this is what I want to do because I feel good doing it.
Right.
On top of other things that I have done within a neighborhood, but a lot of it is I was so destructive as a young girl within my neighborhood that I feel the best way for me to just feel good now is to give back.
Right.
And I don't have to get out the neighborhood to do it. So with being in here, now that I see, okay, it's a neighborhood council, never really thought about it up until that happened with my friend in the apartments. Never really thought about a neighborhood council. Then getting to see that, oh, okay, you guys kind of do dictate what goes on in the neighborhood, and if proper funding or proper resources come here, y'all do kind of dictate, oh, let me get on this train because I need to help y'all dictate because I am the neighborhood.
That's right.
The good and the bad.
That's right. And that has to be respected. And the building that you're operating out of, PCI, that actually is a historic building from the 92, I believe, gang truce that should have happened,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They used to meet up there pertaining to around that time. I think the family, the building that I'm in, they've been there since 89.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it's It's embedded in the community. So I want,
absolutely,
if you can, to beloved Cheeky Mom, if there's any questions or somebody might call, or like definitely for people to call in and give their opinion.
Yes,
ma'am. Can you tell us?
Let's take a look. And we've got some, all the area codes have called in. Let's see how they're doing. Going to warm up to Los Angeles first and see if 323, you're live with the Queen, Nakisha Scott, and Dr. Truth Bay. Are you there, 323 or 338?
Yes. Hi, this is Margaret.
Hi, Margaret.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi. Lakeisha, I've seen the same thing that you're going through has happened to so many of us. And I want you to know that, you know, if you need me, I'm here to help you fight this or get through this. It's something that's been going on since I was a kid, okay? And I'll be 70 this year.
Right on.
People have,
yes, yes.
And things are happening even to me in the community, and I've reached out to people, and I haven't been able to get any help from people. I even have vendors that I buy from that refuse to sell to me, okay, being a black. They don't want to sell to me. I was trying to get some licensed gear, and there's only a few places to get it. And both places have been very, very unaccommodating to me. Even when I ask Hispanic people that I know that go to these places, can I walk in with you? Can I? Because there's no reason for them. I have all my licenses. No reason for me not to get the product. So I've been myself going to do some research this week to find out who can come on board and help me. And we need to help each other to get these people that have come to this country, okay, into our city, that when we've been all our lives, okay, and they're able to dominate everything and to exclude us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of work to do, and it can be done, but people are going to have to step out. Like I said, I spoke with a few people, and they haven't said anything yet, but I've also going to call USC, the law clinic, tomorrow. And you could do the same thing. Call the UCLA Law Clinic and put them to work, because they are looking for different stuff to fight and deal with.
Okay.
Right on. Sister Margaret, can you leave your information so that way with Imam, if he has your number, so that way we can connect on that level?
Oh, okay. I sure will.
Yeah, we
appreciate you so much. And we love you so much, Sister Margaret. She told us much about her business out there and how she's had her challenges, and now she's stepping up. And now we got to step up and help Miss Margaret and help Miss Nakisha Scott to stabilize, neutralize, and step up and step on the homogenize and the pasteurize, and let's get something going for real. So as we go to 69, we're out there in Texas. Texas got a 469. At 894, you're live on Black Power Radio with Nakisha Scott and with Dr. Truth Bay. 469.
Hey, how y'all doing? More power to the people. Assalamu alaikum.
All right.
Hey.
Power to the people. Yes, darling. A youth council in the house. What's happening?
Youth Council, yes. How y'all doing? Just wanted to touch bases with everybody, speak on the importance of trusting in ourselves and uplifting one another. When we work with each other, we empower each other to do better things and be better. So that's the main thing for us in 2022, is to uplift each other and help each other do better individually and overall as a whole. So
that's right. That's right. And you know that West Athens area as well. Nakisha, if you could let us know how we can support you. Do you have a website, a phone number to reach out if people want to reach out to you?
Yes, my website is liveyourlife32.org, and my email is liveyourlife32.com. Wait, I think I said that wrong. Let me see. Let me get it together. It is liveyourlife32@gmail.com. I'm sorry.
All right.
Okay. For the numerically pure at heart, and, of course, we are on radio. You must let them know it's Y-O instead of Y-O-U-R, yo and your, and give them your number, a number by which you can be reached. Most of the listeners here at Black Power Radio are purely numerically pure at heart, and they will probably dial you before anything, so you would want to at least give your telephone number twice.
Well, my email address has my phone number on there, not my email, I'm sorry, my website, and my website is liveyourlife32.org. So there is all my information right there.
liveyourlife32.org.
Yes.
All right, so I hope you can hang out with us a little bit more. We wanted to cover PCI and the historic building and why it's very necessary to support you and your efforts, because what you're doing specifically speaks and affects our Black youth more than ever. So I want to go back to the riots in 92, where a lot of this stemmed as far as the gang truce. Now, T. Rogers, that was a blood leader, he actually passed away last year, not too long ago, right? I believe in August 2021. Yeah, so he, if you're not too familiar with T. Rogers, Black family, he is the actual original blood leader. And in his last years, just like many of ex-street gangs, they want to turn around and do something better for their community. T. Rogers was a prominent figure after the riots and the gang truce that happened in 92, was trying to change the course of the effectiveness of what violence and guns and basically just in the hood life in general, just to change the whole construct of how our children who are raised in these neighborhoods to have a different outlook. So let's just listen to a quick video of the riots that sparked in Los Angeles that really changed the course and relationships between Black and all races.
Now, we are not sure that the police is there to protect us.
On the evening of March 3rd, 1991, 26-year-old Rodney King was pulled over after a high-speed chase with police along the Foothill Freeway in Los Angeles.
We, the jury, in the above-entitled action, find the defendant, Stacy C. Coon, not guilty.
A confrontation with officers followed. He was punched, kicked, stomped on, and brutally attacked with tasers and batons by four members of the LAPD. The beating was caught on tape by local resident George Holliday, whose footage would then be broadcast on national television, sparking outrage across the country. In fact, the footage of the attack created such a media circus in LA County that the ensuing trial of four officers, led by the Los Angeles District Attorney, was moved to neighboring Ventura County. A jury of nine white, one Latino, one Asian, and one biracial male resident acquitted all four officers of assault.
I have this verdict. What these people done? They let the people bomb.
The state-led prosecution of the officers who aggressed King was controversial from the outset, and not just because of the sensational video evidence. The lack of any Black jurors in the trial just added to the public's perception that systemic racism had prevented justice from being served. In February of 1993, the United States Department of Justice responded to this outrage by seeking grand jury indictments of the four officers for violations of King's civil rights. In the ensuing trial, there would be two Black jury members. It had only been 1 year since the riots, and the city of L.A. was still recovering from severe property damage and turmoil.
Do you remember the riots, and where were you at the time?
At the time of the riots, I think I was about 10 years old, so I was a little person. I remember my teachers watching different stuff on the news in a classroom. I remember the riots as far as in other people stealing and bringing things home and other stuff like that, but not my household. My mama didn't let us go out around that time, as well as my school was directly across the street from where we mm-hmm. live. So it was no need for me to be nowhere beyond that, and she wasn't that type of person. So my memories of it was just more watching the news.
Right, because you're too young at the time to really grasp what was happening. Now, the aftermath,
absolutely.
As you got older, did you see any effects from the 92 riots of how it changed the construct of your neighborhood, or did it make much changes?
I didn't notice anything because I wasn't paying attention like that. Mind you, it's about a 10, 11-year-old child. So
mm-hmm.
when adults are talking and the guys were meeting up in the apartments, you know, with all the red and different stuff on, I didn't know that it was a truce that was going on. You know, I was just
mm-hmm.
one of them kids like, oh, can't go over there because all of them over there. So I didn't see the changes because I was too young to see the changes. I was just going to school, coming back home,
mm-hmm.
you know, riding to way out to go get food because it was burnt up around here. But other than that, I couldn't tell you that because I was too young to absorb and even just really have an opinion about that as a kid.
Right on. So I want to play just a quick clip of T. Rogers, who at the time was putting together this truce, and he had a lot of meetings, I believe, in Inglewood. The Inglewood Bloods and Crips was one of the groups that were trying to come together at the time.
I'm T. Rogers, Executive Vice President and National Spokesperson for the American Program. I'm Batman. Okay, number one, what was it that, I'll start from the left, right? What was it that led to the bonding, the truth, the peace, whatever you want to call it? Our program has been in effect for 3 years, 3.5 years, and our program deals with certain components. One of the components that we deal with is peace. Jim's house is a half an hour ride from any neighborhood, okay? Coming up that hill, man, you listen to the right music, you calm down, this is neutral ground, nobody's turf is up here, you know what I'm saying? So when you come up here, you got a different mindset. That's one of the reasons. We worked on that. We had 28 different gang sets that were affiliated, that is affiliated with the program, and then we said, well, now we've done it this far, what can we do? One of the brothers from our program said, well, look, we got four of the major housing projects in Watts, and we got them together, four of the most notorious housing projects in Watts together. That would be a hell of a start. That was his assignment that he took on. That was his project. This was long before the uprising or the rebellion or even the riots. Apparently,
I want to get.
First and foremost, we look at it differently. It is not a truce or a peace treaty. It is a bonding of black men who have stood up and came together. And when they came together, peace just happened to be one of the things on the agenda. See, we have been conditioned and trained to dislike another brother.
Is that right?
You understand what I'm saying? Because of the color that he wears or where he lives. 20-some odd years of conditioning has taught us that. If you ask some of them young brothers that's very active in gangbanging, you ask them, why don't you like a Crip or why don't you like a Blood? His answer will be this. Oh, he sounds like to ask some of the OGs what happened back in the day, they know the answers. Now, I'll give you this also. When the pleas went out for what was supposed to have been the black leaders in the community, i.e. the churches, the politicians, and all of those people, nobody stopped to listen to them. They are not our leaders. The leadership comes from the grassroots and the OGs.
I agree 1,000%. Leadership comes from the grassroots and the OGs. The power is that what do you like to see in the future of West Athens in your community that you live? Black power.
Black power. I believe. Coach, there are a few more callers as well as Coast to Coast, the Rodney King piece, and I hope you all are not like me. I'm barely getting over Emmett Till and never got over Trayvon to Stephon and Michael Brown, Eric mm-hmm. Garner in between, Tamir Rice and the 9 yards, and Sandra Bland up the middle. I just never get over any of the incidents as though they happened last night in my living room. So I know most of our audience are somewhat inclusive in that idealism of what has happened and all of the terrible things that continue to happen to us. And I hope Mrs. Nakisha is black. She's black on. But above and beyond that, you can choose of calling. Sometimes the line will go down for whatever reason. Let me do a double click, a double deck, and a double check. Her number appears to be live, but she punched in on one. I don't know if she may have punched or punched it twice.
And I'm here.
I was hearing, are you there live with us, Mrs. Nakisha Scott?
Yes.
Okay. So she's put that pertinent cross-examination question right on your right in your microphone, Black Power.
Yes, we'd like to know, the future of your community. What would you like to see and accomplish in the next few years with your mentoring program?
With my mentoring program, what I would like to accomplish is let a lot of these young little girls know that even though you come from a bad environment, you do not have to be a product of your environment. I would tell them to be themselves. I want them to understand that we are not about twerking and depending on a man to bring the bag, that we need to be self-sufficient, and it starts with the books at school. I would just want to see more parents supporting their kids. Start there.
Mm-hmm. Right on. That is the best thing. Got to hear it one more time. Teachers, that's right. Support our youth by any means necessary. I'm so grateful to have you on our show today and letting our women know we got to support each other. And our young girls especially, what kind of words of wisdom would you like to leave with them specifically for girls who are going through trauma or current abuse?
Sometimes talking to someone that's outside of your family could help more than talking to the people that's stuck in a rut in your family.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So we got to continue our outlets to support programs like Live Your Life. Is that right? So,
yes.
Mom?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Is there any anybody that has any further questions, perhaps?
I'm just going to go straight to Atlanta and try to pick up that 678 was up earlier. 678 at 895. You're live with Nakisha Scott on the West Coast, and Dr. Truth Bay is also on that West Coast. You're live at 678.
Assalamu alaikum. Black power to the people.
Power to the people.
Miss Nakisha, I think it's wonderful and beautiful what y'all out there doing in Athens Park. I have actually had some friends from Compton and stuff like that, and they're trying to get their situation together too. And I think that it's, as a people, whether men or women, that we got to better our communities. If no one else is going to do it, we have to do it. And with a lot of the gang violence, a lot of people don't realize our children step into it. You know, it was there before we got here, so it's a cause and effect to everything. And a lot of our people are misguided because they're not told the truth from the start. So I think that by you doing this mentor program, I think it's wonderful and beautiful. And also what we need to do is fight for within our schools, sex education. That's taken out of our school, and so is PE. It's like a lot of young men and young women don't realize what like certain circumstances that comes with it. Because in Atlanta now, there's a lot of people fighting for they're fighting against the abortion clinic and stuff like that because they're only trying to open it up and out with neighborhoods and stuff like that. And we need to make more people aware of these circumstances in our neighborhoods and stuff like that. Because I think that if children are more educated on circumstances like that, sex education and stuff like that, that could save a lot of people's lives and stuff like that. And there's nothing wrong with getting an education. Nothing wrong with having children later on in life. You know, so that's what I try to tell some of my partners of mine. It's about a presence. We have to be a presence to our children, even if whether your uncle or grandfather or anything like that. We have to be a presence to these young women, because a lot of our young girls don't know the history. A lot of them don't know about the Sojourner Truth, the real stories of Harriet Tubman, the Asada Shakur and stuff like that. They only talk with within the substance of what they want us to know. So I just wanted to touch up on that and stuff like that. And Black Power, and thank you, sister, for you being a beautiful queen and doing what you're doing out there in L.A. It's wonderful. Black Power.
Thank you.
Black Power. Is that right? That is so... Right on.
Oh, I knew it was a double blast.
Sound the alarm.
That's a 347. I'm not sure. I got two New Yorkers out. Let's see if we can pull them up. They usually just stick right together. The New Yorkers come in pairs, L.A. come in triplets. And let's try some New York City right here. Got a couple of New Yorkers at 347 at 257. You're actually live on Black Power Radio. You there with us? 347. Yeah, 347, 257, you're live with Nakisha Scott is in L.A. They're with us. Might have been sad and so rejected. I'm going to blast past that New Yorker to blast down and hit another New Yorker. I got me some Shabazzian on this line. Attorney Shabazzian out of New York City at 646 and 973, you're live on Black Power Radio. You got to do that.
Peace and Black Power. You can hear me?
Peace and Black Power.
Yes.
You're loud and clear. What do you know about that?
Yeah, I would like to say, first and foremost, Black Power to all the people.
Power to the people.
All right. Okay. I have something I put together. And I have some things that I put together. I would like to demonstrate it. We the black leaders and elders are responsible for the behaviors and outlook of our black youth nowadays. This hour, this minute, this second, this nanosecond. We have to rally up more town hall meetings. We have to get into them projects. I have seen one project without a community center. We're on the radio, through electronic. We need more print media. And the schools, definitely in the streets. More charter schools for our youth, teaching knowledge itself and history, our story. We have to support development of independent African-centered schools, teaching a better diet and health practices as well. Step up, you mighty leaders and elders. Our youth's behaviors are too wild, disrespectful, not enough politeness, not enough humbleness, etc. Now is the time to end all foolishness to build our black nation, black people. Through the youth, pass the torch. Umoja and the black community is to build and maintain our own stores, our own shops, and other businesses, and to profit from them together. We have to teach our youth unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, the ability to respond to the cause of action, our purpose, and creativity is to have faith to become entrepreneurs, makers, and owners of businesses. We must organize our youth to teach them to operate a business, taking on greater normal financial risks in order to do so. You have to be business savvy. You should study accounting, marketing, and purchasing. You have to be planners. You have to implement the plan and prepare the plan to change and exchange even for another plan. If your plans don't work, it doesn't stop when you're reaching your goal. We also need to be creating new strategies and network more, manage our money, manage our finances, budget with discipline, never give up. Passionate for what we do, passion is passed on to others, each one teach one. Bring a product or service to the marketplace. It's a lot of hard work. You have passion and confidence, or really keep the commitment.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You fired up your- How you bring that?
Black Power, I got a little more. What we need to do, what we turn it over to our generation, we need to turn over that torch, pass that torch with the light, see through triple darkness of our conditions and our positions, leaving the blue oh, the black print from the architects of the past and the present, a grand design to elevate our condition and change our position, clean up, straighten up with the life-giving teachers, Dr. Khalid Muhammad, sword of Allah, cipher of Allah. Revolution of perspective is the idea and ideals, and developments involve great changes in the way something is done or made. One, when you say you're a revolutionary, you got to be fearless. You have to have the fearlessness to advocate radical change, to modify the status quo regardless the social, the political issues, the economic and financial status quo. It's about revolving, turning things around, a particular attitude towards or regarding something or point of view, changing the existing state of affairs, of the current state of the social structure or value, changing in the ways things should be, especially the imperialistic, capitalistic views, share the wealth, black power.
Black power.
That's right.
Woo! Heavy, heavy, heavy. That's New York City.
Representing New York, absolutely.
We'll have some more New York tomorrow. Dr. Leonard Jeffries, want to warn you. I can hear it up in here. So that must be the precursor to what's happening tomorrow. But there were so many. So he gave a small vision. So many things that we have to stabilize within the black youth, in order that they may somehow become what has become to be known as well-rounded, in shape for the competition, the long haul of life. There are far, far, far too many of our black youth who are not prepared. I give the scenario so many times, a young lady with no home economic skills, no prenatal skills, no WIC program idealism, no free breakfast program idea, with no self introspection within her, even her own anatomy, to know totally what's going on with her. Pregnant by a young man who has very little to no marketable skills, with no vocational trade even on his mind, with the deaf, dumb, and the blind babies leading and having more deaf, dumb, and blind babies. These are facts that I witness every day in the streets of D.C. while out attending to the needs of black people in Washington. I've attended to their needs in New York, in Los Angeles, in Chicago, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Dallas, Miami, Seattle, Washington. All chime in, they're about the same. Even though there's a little contrast now, as y'all can hear from the backdrop, between what is actually taking place on the streets of Los Angeles and what's actually taking place on the streets of New York City. And I think Dr. Truth Bay and Sister Nikisha know some of what I'm saying, being they're our thorough sisters with all of the above, black power.
Black power. And indeed, you are absolutely correct. We need to get back to trades. And so every Thursday, we have a leadership meeting. And if you'd like to know more information or join our meeting, you can give us a call at 323-884-8583. And every Thursday, we deliberate and talk about issues and how we execute plans of action. Our main questions that we ask each of our leaders in each city to know your local governance. Who is your city council person? What is the public authority in your neighborhood? When you answer these questions, then you'll know for sure how to combat the oppressor with their own tactics. But when we say they are oppressing us, or the man is oppressing us, or them over there, and we don't give them a name, we don't know their origin, we giving them more power by being ignorant in that fashion. And that's why we cannot move forward in 2022 with the same mentality. So there's hope. Ah, yes, there's hope. So join us May 19th to the 21st in the Merck Park in Los Angeles for El Hajj Malik Day, where we will be having 3 days of atonement and rebuilding for our black youth. There we will have vendors, music, guest speakers, opportunities for our young people to enter into the 3D world, metaverse and cryptocurrency, a lot of things that our young people should be ushering in and knowing the stock market, things that will benefit them in the long run as entrepreneurs. So we want to continue that tradition of giving each one, teach one. And what we want to do May 19th to the 21st in historic Leimert Park is to do just that. Now, on Sunday, May 22nd, we will have a private invite-only dinner for investors, for those who want to move forward in building an academy for youth, housing, resources. You got to put your money where your mouth is when the time comes. So that is what we look forward to May 19th to the 21st in Leimert Park and May 22nd, our investors dinner. More so, in August, August 1st, is our National Black Political Convention. That's right. The original one that was May 28th to April is actually changed to August 1st to August 4th. So log on to NBPC2022.com for more information and join us at the National Black Political Convention. This is where we will be introducing two new bills, Senate Bill 1857 and HR Resolution Bill 4759. These are the two bills where we request us as melanated Moors, 6,616 pieces of property nationwide to be given to us in order to build. We're not asking nor demanding. It's just what it is going to be. So we want you to join us with these crucial dates. And don't forget Black History Month next month. We have a lot of events coming up, but be more supportive with your local community. Let's do something together, Black families. Now is our time to shine. And if we don't take hold of the reins in this season, then it will never happen again. But I really feel hopeful this year that all things in the past that our ancestors, Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, what they have stood for, Frederick Douglass, Nat Turner, Harriet Tubman, they made the message loud and clear. None of us are free unless all of us are free. So let's get together May 19th to the 21st in Leimert Park and then join us August 1st in Newark, New Jersey at the National Political Convention. There, black excellence will reign. Power to the people.
Power to the people.
Yes.
One additional there's one going to pop up, I think, in March, there about the 11th. We'll be in Tulsa again. So the pastors might want to put that word out. Not a mandatory meeting, but definitely some Panthers will be supportive of us going to Tulsa, Oklahoma once again. That was the rape of Sister Pamela Smith. Has never been rectified, never been addressed properly. And it's been a continuity of evasiveness by the state of Oklahoma and all of those connected with our sister being raped and tortured in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So we do support her effort for justice. Therefore, we will reappear in Tulsa, Oklahoma in March the 11th. So be there, be goddamn it square, but we will be there, and we hope that if you have the energy, the time, the interest, and the fortitude to be in Tulsa with us on March the 11th. And we always repeat, Leimert Park is the place to be. I've done a few events out there, and we need to go black. We need to bring the East to the West to the East. By them blacking out on the convention, moving it down to August, that gives the Panthers You should energize us more to get to El Hajj Malik Day in Leimert Park in Los Angeles and bring the East Side to the West Side and You know, we need energy, support, get the troops where they need to be, and get all Black Panthers, all Black activists, all Black Pan-Africanists, and everybody that might be thinking about getting on board and getting Black. Well, now's your opportunity to get with that Black major event, a Black Power Summit convention. And if you are a lucky fella or lady, or if you just happen to get an invitation, we have some big dinner on May 22nd in Los Angeles. I can't say it enough that don't quit, just quit calling yourself nationalist. You're not going to get off your little rusty dusty. You're not going to get off your porch. You're not going to pull yourself off the curb and move out by flight, by night, by cuss or bus. Trust us, Gus can come and cuss for the rest of us. But we need to have you, your mind and your black mind in Los Angeles, California by May 19th. Is Malcolm X Day or El-Hajj Malik Shabazz, catching on the scholarship of Malcolm, El-Hajj Malik Shabazz. Thank again, Mr. Shabazz, for coming on and bringing such an energy from New York. And that's showing you the need for us to come together and merge these ideas and make them work out for us nationally. And a great shout out to our international community, especially in Sierra Leone, in London, in France, in Gambia, and others that are struggling and moving in the path of work in Nigeria and in Kenya, in Nairobi, other places. So we've got so much love out there for the Panthers, but we must push the education. This is not automatic push button or remote control. This is work, brothers and sisters. So get our grind. What Blue Brett tell us? We know that good things come to those that grind. Black power.
Black power. And so we want to remind you that we have goals and aspirations as a people. And Black Panther Party for Self-Defense has a 10-point program that was issued in 1966. I want to briefly go through this 10 points because we have to remind ourselves what exactly is our purpose. Let us not lead astray. So number one, we want freedom. We want power to determine the destiny of our Black community. Number two, we want full employment for our people. We believe that the federal government is responsible and obligated to give every man employment or guaranteed income. And when the government doesn't come through, guess who has to pick up the bill? We still gotta live. So let's focus on creating a way to be self-sufficient. Number three, we want to end the robbery by capitalists of our Black community. As we know, that money makes the world go round. But do you know who's really running the money? In our last hour, we'll go briefly into a little history of a certain elite family that actually not only owns the United States, but owns the rest of the entire world. So capitalism has to be transferred and given to us in order for us to make the change. Without capital, we are not able to move forward. If you don't have capital, then you should be in the forefront planning, using your God-given gifts to make the change. Because not everything requires money, but it definitely requires courage and self-determination. Number four, we want decent housing fit for shelter of human beings. As we know, homelessness in Los Angeles, the homeless capital of the world, for a reason. You got our sleepy politicians that have been using homeless funding for their own pocketbook. And so we must change that and actually have that built housing on our own. Low-income housing, high-income housing, condos, construction, all of that is what we should be specializing in. As we mentioned before, Shaky Mom stated, labor jobs, training is never going to go out of style. We need to train in construction, in home economics. These are the things that will last for us forever. So wherever we are, like Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, we'll be able to create fire. We'll be able to create communities from the dirt and the ground that the Lord has given us. Number five, we want to educate our people and expose the true nature of this decadent American society. And if our parents are not learning policies and law, guess who else is not learning? Our children. So we must pave the way and be an example to make an effort and discipline ourselves every day to focus on some sort of disciplinary action, civic duty, politics. Number six, we want all black men to be exempt from the military service. As you know, fighting for a country that doesn't even consider you human rights is a problem. So let's focus on creating opportunities. So drafting is not a real major issue. It's more of a choice nowadays. But still, our black men, we want them home, not fighting for a country. We want them building their communities. Number seven, we want an immediate end to police brutality and the murder of black people. And this is constant, as we know. Police brutality is something that will never go away, but we can manage it if we have our own policing communities. As we said before, you have many of our elders, people who are experienced in the military, they are the best candidates in developing a new policing system. The discipline, the training, and especially the handling of guns. For some reason, innocent bystanders are the ones that get targeted. So we need to focus on how we retrain our people into a military fashion so that we can effectively police our community. Number eight, we want freedom for all black men and women held in federal, state, county, and city prisons. Mass incarceration, the number one tactic of keeping the slave labor in plain view. When you have brothers who, sisters who are spending, let's remember Lester Holt that actually spent 57 years. He was released this past November, but he spent 57 years for a crime that he didn't even commit when he was only supposed to spend 10 for a felonious plea bargain. How many of our political prisoners are currently in prison right now? We have at least 19 that have been due for a pardon years ago, but they're still in these cages. So this is why when we are out and about breathing fresh air, we must never forget how privileged we are to do so, because many of our brothers and sisters cannot enjoy that because of the wrongs that this country has done. So instead of complaining about the issue, we must make a change by actively creating plans of action to release our prisoners, documents, and knowing the law. And last but not least, we want all black people, when brought to trial, to be tried in a court of a jury of their own peers. And this also is an atrocity when it comes to the judicial system. When you have a black person that has a civil suit, it is automatically dismissed before it even gets by. Why? Because the Constitution, as I stated, the way it's written, does not even allow a black man to get a fair trial. So you'll have a lot of these judges that will rush through your cases, convict you, guilty before, and then you have to prove yourself innocent. That's just the way it is. But it doesn't have to be. It certainly does not have to be. So let's focus on plans of action, as we just heard from our brother Shabazz in New York, with a specific prison reform program. I'm going to say prison reform. A relief program for our brothers who have been released. We need to really emphasize that. And I don't know if Brother Biko Muhammad is on the line, or Sister Janae Cook Muhammad, to give us an update in Washington, D.C., but we definitely need to hear from our comrades and an update according to...
Absolutely. Let's see. I saw them earlier. It may have
going off into the sunset or the oblivion. I'm not sure. But they were here. But let's see if we can do something right along here. Give condolences to Sister Janae Cook Muhammad. I think her aunt passed in South Carolina. So we want to say a shout out, a word of prayer for her and her family. Sister Desiree, her father has passed. He's in North Carolina. She's in D.C. And there's a few more that I can't bring to mind. But definitely, I always say something for the sick to shut in and those who have passed, the fallen comrade. I guess there's not enough sensitivity throughout the community for loved ones, sick to shut in, and those who have passed, and the bereavement period, those who are, we're going to extend the condolences to all of those who have lost anyone in 21 or 22. We just want to show love and concern as much as we possibly can when they are in bereavement, and ask the Almighty God of the worlds to extend to them the mercy and the blessings of entrance to paradise if it's possible.
There's
a brother online. He may can give you some update on some of, I don't know if Black Lightning's around. He can tell us something about D.C. What do you know about D.C., Black Lightning? Is he there? He may have left with the people in oblivion. 301 at 682, are you live on Black Power Radio? I see snoozing, cruising, or bruising. And Janae Cook Muhammad and Biko are gone.
Black Power.
So that, Black Power, is that what it is? Yeah, this is Black Power. Okay, there he goes. Black Lightning.
Hey, what?
Black Power.
I thought I heard you call my number. Wasn't sure. Just say, with a revolutionary voice of the people, step up to the plate, please. That's how you get me. I'm talking about Rodney King. Boy, that was that's something. If they had handled it right, maybe we wouldn't be going through the other shit that we're going through. That we've been through, I should say, you know, instead of Rodney King taking the money and then say, can we all just get along? He should have been like me. I would have said, man, fuck your money, motherfucker. You can't buy me. You know?
Woo.
That's what I would have said. I would have said, you crackers and crossed the line with the wrong motherfucker. Excuse my language. But that's what I would have said if I was Rodney King. I'd have threw the money in their face and said, fuck getting along. As a matter of fact, I'd have been out there hunting them motherfuckers. They'd have got capped off one by one. The motherfuckers, not all of them, just ones that beat me with them sticks. I'd have bust caps on all their ass, one by one. I'd have been like, no, I ain't got nothing to say about it. I'm getting along. I forgot all about it. And I sneak out every night after these motherfuckers. If they had done that, maybe we wouldn't have had a Michael Brown. We wouldn't have had Ahmaud Arbery. And maybe these crackers wouldn't feel so comfortable getting their little Ku Klux Klan attitudes up and coming out, hunt a nigga time. I'm the wrong nigga. The motherfucker ran up on me in my little Ku Klux Klan neighborhood, and I jumped straight to his ass. Said, what, motherfucker, what? Just like that. Shake, you already know what kind of bulldog I am. Excuse my language. Shake already know what kind of bulldog I can really be. So I jumped him while he was trying to stop me and question me. I was going to bust his ass and beat his ass in the middle of my own street. And them crackers know better than to mess with me like that. And cracker means the oppressor. No mean all white folks. There's some nice white folks on my block, too. The peach lady, she go out and give peaches. She sell peaches, but she also give food and peaches and stuff to the homeless. And she's a nice white lady, you know. I wouldn't call her a cracker one bit, one minute. So I'm talking about these crackers that beat Rodney King down. You know, I've been Rodney King. As a matter of fact, I've been Rodney King. when they finished beating me with, and they probably was more cops with nightsticks on my ass than they had on him. I could count his assailants. You couldn't even count mine. And there's another good story because it shows that you can have love of your brothers and sisters don't necessarily have to be your brothers and sisters sometimes. There was a white boy that was working for me selling sunglasses and stuff, and he just liked to drink. And this is a good story for those people young and just drinking. He had to go and have an appendix operation because of all his beer drinking. People think, well, at least I'm not drinking hard liquor, I'm just drinking beer. So he go have an appendix operation, and he had bandages around his bib section. And I came from a buddy of mine house and had my two soldiers, one black Mexican and one white boy, waiting on me at the park. And when I came back, the white boy's stitches was bleeding. And I asked him, what the hell happened to him? He said, some undercover cop ran through here. Said, did you see a guy running? And this fool said, yeah, he went that way. You know, I'm like, you know, you're supposed to shut the fuck up, first of all. You know, you don't point nobody out. And so he got what he deserved for doing that. So the cop said, don't never lie to the police, and hit him in his midsection with a slapjack. And at that very moment, I was coming around the corner, and I'm like, "Oh, what happened to him? Why is he bleeding?" And my buddy say, it's over. What happened?" And then he said, "And there he is there." And I stepped nose to nose with his ass and told him, "Let me see you get your blackjack out. Let me see you even get it out your pocket. I'm gonna leave your hand in your pocket. That's how they gonna find your ass, with your hand in your pocket." So this punk-ass police backed the fuck up out of the park, and before I could blink, there was about 10 squad cars. And, of course, they got these homogenized, pasteurized Negroes that always do their dirty work for them. But what number was big black niggas hitting on a black man, you know, doing the white man's bidding? So now I have a knot on my fucking shoulder to remember this shit by. Anybody see me with my shirt off know what I'm talking about. So I've been Rodney King, but you know what? I ain't going to be Rodney King no more. And the last cop that reached for his taser, I started smiling at him, told him, I will make you eat that motherfucker. And I meant it. So maybe you need more bona fide warriors like me out there, and there would be less bullshit, because you put your hand on all of yours, every last one of them, if you just hurt one of mine. And that's all I got to say about it, because Rodney King, hell, I am Rodney King, and I ain't trying to get along. Sorry, no banana. I'm like Khalid Muhammad about it. Don't beat me down to be your friend. Expect for me to climb through your window real late at night.
All right.
The people of Earth should thank God that I took another direction and that I angled my anger toward the love of my people instead of the hate of my oppressor. Because if all I would do is hate my oppressor, I know what to do to their asses. The same thing they do to us. So I want to stay on the love tip. I'm all having a love affair with the black revolution. I am a black revolutionary. I say it again. I am a black revolutionary. So wherever you are out there, I am.
Thank you so much.
A black
revolutionary. Yes, that's true. I am a black revolutionary. Black power to Black Lightning and all the black revolutionaries out here in Black Power Radio Land and across the intercontinental divide. Black revolution is the only solution. Maybe you have some idealism, as you can see from Rodney King to Trayvon Martin. It has not worked. It has not begun to work. It's not about to work from Biden, Trump, Obama, Clinton. It's 2, 4, 6, 8. Now, who in the fuck do we really hate? Democrats, independents, Republicans, DA, judge, the holies, the police, and the whole goddamn bunch. Black power. Get back to that. Black power. We don't give a damn. Especially but no cracker named Uncle Sam. It's just not in our favor.
Well, Black Lightning usually doesn't say what's on his mind. He's got to pull teeth.
He's one of the
but he went ham today. He went ham. Okay. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go to and woosah. Let's take a deep breath. And delight in your melanin. Now we're going to go into the scriptures a little bit. We're going to look into a specific book, the book of Acts. We must always remember who we are spiritually in moving forth earthly, for we not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Now, our earlier guest today was the wonderful queen, divine, power sister, Nakisha Scott, a.k.a. Mama Boo Boo, who born and raised in Athens and made lemonade out of the lemons that were given for a nonprofit, Live Your Life, and youth mentoring program, and her bout with the city council, a lot of amazing things that she has accomplished. So the city I want to focus on is what we've just been speaking about for the last 2 hours, is the city of Athens. Now, Athens is very important because it actually is a city in the Bible, in the Word. In Acts chapter 16 to 28, I'm going to quickly read the importance of why this verse applies to exactly what Queen Nakisha Scott has been going to in Athens. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he greatly distressed to see the city was full of idols. This is chapter 17, verse 16. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day to day with those who happened to be there. Here we go. Want to get some atmospheric music here? All right. As a group of Epicureans and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him, some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Now remember, Athens is a location that was probably the bottom of the barrel. A lot of idols. A lot of crime, a lot of deception. So this is where Paul was going. Verse 19. Paul was preaching the good news about Yeshua and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him into the meeting of Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new thing you're teaching and what you're presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we would like to know what they mean." All the Athenians, the people of Athens, and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood in the meeting of Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship. I even found an altar with an inscription to an unknown God. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this thing is what I'm going to proclaim to you." Now we can look at this and saying that idols represent, what is our main purpose? what is our go-to? You could say probably sports. You could say ganging. Whatever it is that is crippling our community, this is what represents this story. Verse 24. The God that made the world and everything in it, and the Lord of the heaven and earth, does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands. And if he needs anything, rather he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. God, Allah. For one made, he made all nations, and they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their land. God did this, so they should seek and perhaps reach out for him and find him, for he is not far away from any of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. 29. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being, like gold or silver or stone or animals or any image made by God or human design and skill, we should not worship. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but he now commands all his people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof to this and everyone by raising him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some sneered and said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." Huh. And that Paul left the council. Some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysus, a member of Areopagus, and a woman named Damaris, and a number of others. So I'm going to read 33, verse 33 one more time because it's significant and ties in to our guest today. Verse 33 says, "And Paul left the council, and some people became followers of Paul." So our sister Nakisha Scott, I don't know if she's still on the line, but her presence of who she represents in the city of Athens is the same city of Athens that the Lord spoke in the Bible, because this was an area that was downtrodden for so long. The people have gone through such depression. They have worshipped objects and things. They were lost. They were misguided. And this is the same exact issues that we are dealing with many of our neighborhoods today. But God always has a messenger that he has on reserve to take care of issues just like this. He may inspire that messenger to go out and run for office or run for city council, as Nakisha did. He may inspire them to go to the multitude and march with a specific message, as Malcolm X did, as Martin Luther King did. He may inspire that messenger to do things that no man can ever accomplish. But with God on our side, it shall be done. So I want to pay tribute to my sisters, to my queens, to our women, black women who are holding it down in their community, that they go against the odds to fight for what's true, to fight for justice, fight for peace, and more so, fight for the underdog, which is the black man. It's not an easy feat going against the grain of everything that wants to keep us down. But we must acknowledge the people who are doing that and support them by any means necessary. For if we do not support those who are in the fire, then what exactly is our purpose? So, black family, in whatever we do, however small you may think it may be, or however grand you want it to be, it is something that we all must bring to the table so we can collectively make a change. It takes a village. And if we don't use our power to make a change for our community now, what message are we really sending our children? For they are the ultimate gatekeepers when we are dead and buried. They are the ones that have to carry the torch of what we are to be, of what God created us to be. For it is through God that he has given us the right to do what we need to do. But if we don't acknowledge who we are, if we don't know where we came from, then we are just passing in the wind. We are running after air. It does nothing. So let's continue to be on this path, on executing excellence by executing a plan of action. Dialogue has no space in this revolution. Revolution is not a sometime, a when I have time, or I'll get to it time. It is a absolute being of who you are. It is what you are when you wake up, when you walk out those doors. When you go to sleep, revolution doesn't sleep.
Let's call a spade a spade. Let's call a pitchfork a pitchfork. Let's just say we know what a posse looks like, what a mob can do. We know about chasing ghosts. We know about finding ourselves in dark rooms. We know about safety and numbers. Let's admit that the townspeople ain't never been afraid of the giant, that the body has always been bigger than the head, that the power has always been with, of, and for the people. So let's just tell the truth. Let's just be honest. Let's talk facts. Let's march to infirmary. Let's outline some points. And let us speak of police who will step over our sleeping children to shoot their fathers and ask why they woke and ask why we have guns. We cannot forget how whales sound escaping from a siren or a boy. Let us call little Bobby's name. Let's call little Bobby's mama. Let's put her on the phone with Wanda Johnson or Sabrina Fulton. Let's talk about how easy it is to choke, how America's gravest mass shooting is durational, collective. Let's say wounded knee and never again. Let's say move on HQ and never again. Let's say it in the same breath as Flint, in the same water as everywhere we have been drowned. Let's say America and mean necessarily the trail we wept to get here, the choppy ocean that fought to kill us. Let's say Los Angeles and Philadelphia and Accra and mean the parts of the world who knew revolution as we did, black and impoverished and just coming back from a war like always. Say, let's talk about money as if the first U.S. bailout wasn't stocked in the hull of a slave ship. Oh, but we ain't supposed to talk about that. We ain't supposed to talk about cotton. We ain't supposed to talk about that gin. We ain't supposed to talk about Jim Crow. We supposed to be post. We ain't supposed to ask for what's owed. We're supposed to be thankful to a tyrant. We supposed to kowtow. We supposed to back down. We supposed to not talk about our ache or what we've missed or how we ain't never had a language or a flag or even a proper family reunion. We are never going to know the names of the people who died for us to live in terror. Admit that the idea of Africa is still an offense punishable by death. We are not to dream of going home, not to speak of what has been stolen, not to feed our children, not even to let our hair take flight. We ain't supposed to do anything but die. Not nothing. We supposed to die. We supposed to not even know we supposed to die. We supposed to not speak that we know we're supposed to die. We're supposed to watch our sisters rub crack chalk on their eyes. We supposed to sit and eat stale crust and look on from the outside. What kind of party is that? Let's start our own. We supposed to sit here and wait till somebody let us? Let us stop waiting on freedom like it's a whooping cough. Stop hoping freedom is going to court us on a Thursday date night. Quit crossing our legs and biting our time and biting our nails. It's our birthright, and they will lie to us and tell us we are violent for wanting peace. Peace is our dowry. We wed to a democracy that keeps taking off this ring. We marry to a decadent system that mocks squalor and honor. We saw what they do to our leaders. We see how they're trying to string us up. There are bodies on the asphalt. There are members in holding. There are lines drawn all around us, and they're closing in tight. There's a...
All right. Let's see, something could have got hidden on a mute, but we are right here live on Black Power Radio. Out of your mind, that she may have touched mute while she was speaking, so you might want to say
hello?
That. Yes, ma'am. You probably hit mute while you were speaking. Happens quite frequently.
Oh.
Yeah, go right ahead.
All right. So this is Sneaker Poem.
For democracy that's taken off this ring. We marry to a decadent system that mocks squalor and honor. We saw what they do to our leaders. We see how they're trying to string us up. There are bodies on the asphalt.
There are members in holding. There are lines drawn all around us, and they closing in tight. There's a courthouse. There's a free breakfast. There's Emery's pen. There are Tariqa's fingers, Sonia's poems, and Bobby's plans and kitchen. There are instruments of light and joy. There are folks waiting on orders. There are children in the hallway singing songs about our mothers, these blues people in their black leather. There are teenagers sneaking into our meetings. There are old folks who are both afraid and resentful. They didn't do this first, but some did. Some dusted off their pencils and got right to it, right here on Grover MLK, right here on 10th Street, right here out front of McClyman's and Merritt. Come on, real revolution. Come, real revolution. Come, real fire and fake alibi. Come some Sunday when some brother comes to with the visceral realization that he lost sanity to a country that would have his breath on a plaque, would have his head without thinking and mounted. He's either going to want to get even or get freedom. The whole universe stands to benefit if this black man is free. The truth of the matter is white folks' freedom depends on ours, and we've outgrown a binary that excludes all other comrades. We're talking about all the people, all the people, all the people. Let's take all the power, all the power, all the power, all the people, all the people, all the people, all the power, all the power, all power to the people.
Arms in where my heart on my feet. Even when I fell and God, I believe. Read the day that
We do amazing. Seasons so amazing. Feed them and raise them. Seasons are Asian. Earthquakes, wars and rumors. I want to sit by, but we more than consumers. We more than shooters, more than looters. Being in the image, don't God live through us. And even in this generation, living through computers, only love, love, love can be moved. Oh, everybody's no more secrets. Oh,
sleeping giants. Wake up the sheep. We can't be walking around blind to what's in front of us. And so every day is a living experience. Sorry, Mom, is there anybody else on the line that may want to call in, get an audience? Now we're going to our...
We've got a 424 that just appeared. Let's see what happens with 424. Did they go to the top? 424 must have disappeared. They were there for a while, stuck at some point on the triangle. Let's look again. Any new callers? That was the only new one, was that 424. It was a new area code, a potential first-time caller. But they disappeared while we were just playing back what we were doing. So what we're going to look at, let's see, it's just getting to Leimert Park. That's the program, is to push everything from the east to the west. That's an honorable gesture. Just see what these black activists, these black revolutionaries are really made out of. For the call of Malcolm X, for the call of a black revolutionary, the call of Sheikh Ibrahim Akbar, the call of Dr. Truth Bay and Keisha Najjar, the call of Dr. Kamara, and we got Dr. Jeffries coming tomorrow. I mean, renowned all-time black historian. Rare. This guy just turned his 85th birthday, born day. Dr. Leonard Jeffries is a rare jewel to have as a feather in your cap. And we've done many, many programs together across the country in Atlanta, D.C., New York, Black to Black, Texas, and we haven't done anything in California. Maybe he'll take the challenge, but we're asking anything that's remotely black and moving. Of course, you have to be alive and well to do this, but anything black and moving, to make your way to L.A., to Los Angeles, California, on May 19, 20, and 21, and that's like black power.
And Leonard Jeffries, he was actually born at the location where we'll have the National Black Political Convention in Newark, New Jersey. So professor of Black Studies, just like James Small. So very, very, very great show that I'm sure we look forward to. So make sure you tune in tomorrow where we hear experts, especially.
All of those great ones. Can chime in and get in, fit in. Natasha, if you can come back tomorrow, come on black tomorrow. We can. When we serenade this radio, I mean, it's an unbelievable thing happens. Black Power Radio is like some black magic that's been just waiting to be put in a portion form and given to black people. And we're going to have eventually Mike Roberts, Jeffries, Smalls, all those great historians. We've had them all on before. I mean, at the same time, historians, all of the California, the Oakland crew, the L.A. crew, and all of them on the radio just dropping. And so several of those tapes are out as well. Get your links to Black Power Radio. It's definitely in a Black Panther education. Each one of them contains something that will be extremely useful to you including tonight's program. And we just got so much love here at Black Power Radio. Our cup runneth over, and we do whatever we have to do to free black people, because none of us are free until all of us are free. Not one of us is free. And we thank all of those that contributed tonight. And go right ahead, sister.
Yes, I absolutely agree. We all have to be free from this society one way or the other. And I find that as an adult, when you are a child, you don't really think about how the world views you until you actually become an adult in your own right. And for me, being born and raised in this country, a country that's all I know, as a Haitian American, not only did I realize in my late 40s, give my age away, that really America can't stand me and my ancestors, but more importantly, they cannot stand Haitians. And actually, in the month of February, we'll be covering the Haitian Revolution and the importance of Haiti to the Americas and how it directly impacts the slave revolt nationwide. So I want to, you know, cover a little bit about that next week. But I want us as Americans to never forget the outside influences. Even though Haiti may not be in the United States, it still has a direct impact on blacks, especially descendants of slaves, which is what I'm a descendant of. So I would like, before we have a few minutes remaining, I want to touch a little bit about the Haitian Revolution and who and why Haiti is in the conditions that it is. We have a school in Haiti. We have Haitian students, about 18 of them, worked on the Haitian Constitution. They have been through the assassination of Jovenel Moïse, the president, not too long ago. And it literally is the OK Corral there. You have bandits running the country, and there's really no structure in sight. So here in America, we forget, we are spoiled in that fashion. Even though we may not have all of the rights that are due to us as a black man, we still have fresh running water in certain areas. I can't really say that for Flint, Michigan, which I'm hoping that's what they're working on now, is the water issue there. But we have access to electricity. We have access to food. At least the majority of us has access to food. So these are the small things that countries like Haiti literally have to be dependent on because of the U.S. relations. And, you know, the Clintons and what a lot of these past presidents, even the current president, Biden and Kamala Harris, are not really giving Haiti its due respect and its due support. So I do want to play a little video concerning the Haitian Revolution, a few minutes long, and that way I will touch on a little bit on why it's significant that we know who the leaders of our political realms are. Here we go.
Paris, August 26, 1789. The Revolutionary National Assembly in France takes the vote. At issue is a new document, drafted by Marquis de Lafayette, in consultation with his friend Thomas Jefferson. But in truth, many statesmen have given input to this Declaration of the Rights of Man and the Citizen. It borrows from the Magna Carta, the American Declaration of Independence, and both the English and American Bill of Rights. It begins, Article 1, men are born and remain free and in equal rights. Social distinctions can be founded only on the common good. Though they do not know it, these words will light a fuse that will burn all the way across the Atlantic and blow the slave society of Saint-Domingue to smithereens. Like the American Revolution, slavery was always lurking under the table in revolutionary France. It did not go unnoticed that the revolution's rallying cry of liberty, equality, and fraternity was directly at odds with slave-owning society. But there were also no illusions about the French dependency on the sugar economy of Saint-Domingue. And though abolition was discussed from the mid-1700s, even the most radical favored a gradual emancipation, with slave owners being paid compensation. Many warned that if nothing changed, a major Caribbean slave revolt was inevitable. Then when the revolution came, representatives from the big whites, the San Tomas plantation owners, and the free people of color, both decided that the time had come to take their goals to Paris. The big whites pushed for the colonies to have seats in the newly created National Assembly, so they could argue for more autonomy in the colonies' affairs, and for the freedom to trade with the British Caribbean and the United States. And the free people of color, for their part, were well ahead of them. For years, representatives from Saint-Dumont had been petitioning the government to grant the free people of color full rights, and they too saw the revolution as an opportunity to further that goal. Originally, they had tried to get the big whites on their side, arguing that as fellow slaveholders, the two groups had interests in common. So give the free people of color rights, especially voting rights, and then the two groups together could form a political bloc to defend slavery. The big whites, though, weren't having it. They opposed any reform to the colony's racial caste system. So instead, the free people of color made an alliance with an abolitionist society called the Friends of the Blacks. And they argued that granting full rights to free people of color would be a major step on the road to gradual abolition. And
this was in 1789. Now, fast forward to 1804, where before that, all of the proposals and treaties that so-called free colored people in Haiti, they weren't exactly slaves still, that were not slaves, were able to negotiate and have freedom for the entire population of slaves in Haiti. And this is what was not happening. A lot of these backdoor deals, of course, went sour because they didn't fulfill their end of the bargain. So in 13 years before 1804, we had Duty Bookman, who is a slave revolt, actually killed a pig, drank its blood under a tree called Bois Caiman. And 13 years later, they fought the French and got their freedom in 1804. The problem was France was not having any of that. So at the time, Napoleon, who had the Louisiana Purchase at the time, because France was so broke that they had to make sure that the Haitians paid for their freedom. Oh, they were very, very upset. So as a result, Napoleon sold half of the Louisiana Purchase, which expanded America at the time. But yet, Haiti had to pay for its freedom to the French in a tune of $160 billion to date. So when people describe Haiti as the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, they fail to understand or repeat or even state the reasons why. Because the United States did not step in and defend Haiti from France. Instead, it jumped in with France and decided to pimp the shit out of Haiti. So this is why even the rice that the Clinton Foundation in 2016, thank you, Hillary and Bill, for destroying the soil where we couldn't even grow rice. Why? Because they didn't care. And especially with other nations where we had to get imported rice from China, Japan, where we could have grown our own, has left Haiti devastated. It's very important, Black family, that we must not forget this part of history, because even though we feel that it is in Haiti, it has a direct impact to the United States. So who are these people that Haiti had to pay? First, we're going to look at the Rothschilds, Bank de Rothschild, as they would say. The Bank of Rothschild, and that name Rothschild is important to remember, is because they're the ones that own the whole world. That's right. There is no other family or name that runs anything. And it's Rothschild on top of the food chain. So the France Bank of Rothschild at the time, and this was around the same time, 1801, 1802, where the Rothschilds was creating their banking system in France. So who was the one that really paid for the Bank of France to be flourishing the way it is? It was Haiti. Haiti directly made the impact payments to France, which gave it its wealth. But yet, Not one historian or want to focus on that. They look at the current situation, the earthquakes that happened. That is a red flag for other nations to come in and so-called send relief, like the Red Cross. They are perfect in poverty pimping, received millions of dollars in so-called Haitian relief. But it never went to the people. It always went to the Europeans, to the ones that want to preach Jesus, right? That want to go over there and give you religion while they smuggling our Haitian kids, while they're taking the oil and the coffee and whatever resources, gold. Understand that just like Africa, it is very rich with resources. Haiti has a lot of resources, but they will never, ever tell you that part. They just will swoom in and take. So the Rothschilds, going back to them, because Haiti had to pay $160 billion, that is part of the Reparations Act here in America that we're trying to tie in. The same reparations that Haiti is supposed to receive and the Americans are supposed to receive is the same exact reparation. It is a monetary or payment of some sort for a wrong that was done to be made right. What was the wrong? Slavery. So the Rothschilds, and we're going to look at just the powerful family, not the Banking of France. So the five Rothschild department that covers the whole entire world, the head of that family is Mayer Rothschild, who has five sons. These five sons were trained from birth by their father to take over the world. So what did Mayer do? He said, okay, I want Ashmel, his firstborn, to go to Frankfurt. Even though Ashmel died childless, his other four siblings had children. So Frankfurt, Germany was one son. Then Solomon Mayer Rothschild went to Vienna to cover that territory, 1774, 1855. Then the third son, Nathan Mayer Rothschild, went to take over England. So his base was in London. Then the other son, Calvin Mayer Rothschild, took over Naples. And the last, Jacob Mayer Rothschild, who took over and pimped the crap out of Haiti, remained in Paris. And they all started their fortune late 1700s to early 1800s. So this is what we have to remember. When it comes to American history, you cannot have American history without looking into Black history. And that Black history just doesn't stay on this soil. It includes the Caribbean. So as we go in depth, in the month of February, the Haitian revolt and the details of the significance of Haiti and the United States, never forget why Haiti is in the condition that it is. And we must do something to fix that. So when we have immigrants that came from Haiti, that are seeking asylum, which is what our students are seeking right now. And they come through the Rio Grande River, through Texas. And as you see before, that they were deported back to Haiti, or they were beat on horse. When you saw the horses whipping Haitians, nobody ever saw something like that before. But when it comes to Haitians, those type of slave tactics is what America feels is needed. So we look to our American counterparts. Because I'm Haitian American, I have the best of both worlds. But it's not really the best of both worlds. It's the, it's the divisiveness. It's the discrimination that I feel, not only as a Black woman, but more so as a Haitian woman, in where we don't even get respect amongst our own. So this is a very complex position. And so we must never forget who we are as a group of people and get back to where we are originally as the creation of God, the Father. From the dust, he took us and molded us and blew the breath of life
That is who we are as a unit. So, Black family, I want us to take our time to really study and discipline ourselves as to what is really important and how the true history of who we are needs to be told. We cannot allow other people to tell our history and continue to do so, because as you know, they will tell his story, not ours. So we're shaving out to Imam, and if you have any final words or comments before getting to our last musical break.
Yes, ma'am. I think there's an additional, if I'm not mistaken. There were three extra callers, and let's see if we've got them. That's a 323. I don't know if you're live at 884. 323-884. You're actually live on Black Power Radio. Are you still with us at 323-884? Okay. Are you there? Can you see 323? Are you live? We had a 917 and a 424 to set up and down. But nevertheless, maybe they're not speaking tonight. At 323-323-884. Going once, going twice, they're actually gone. Let's see. There was one or two more somewhere. But there was a 424 and some others. But nevertheless, we must, brother and sister, get focused on Black Revolution. I mean, we talk about the American Revolution, the Haitian Revolution, the Black People From Here Revolution. I don't even know what name is best suited. The Bilalians, some call them the Nuwabians. I mean, we've got more names than Carter got Liverpools. But we that we know that we are talking about must get ready for your own revolution. And that's mm-hmm. the only thing that the opposition respects is when you come with your revolution. And that's the only thing the bloody Brits respected when the 13 colonists decided to declare a revolution, a revolutionary war. And that's what we have to really get about. We have war with this beast. We have a domestic revolutionary war yet to fight. And regardless of who likes it, it's coming. So we can do what we want to do, but you can't duck your revolution. You live on polluted air, polluted water. Live a long time on polluted air, polluted water. We are the physical evidence that you can actually live on polluted air and polluted water. But you cannot live without your own revolution. That's just something you have to face, brothers. And no two ways about it. You have to get ready for your revolution. And that's what Dr. Kwame Ture would frequently say. Ready for the revolution. Ready for the revolution. Get ready for the revolution. And it's something that quickened the spirit in many people and produced many revolutionaries from those type of statements. And I don't know what we're going to be known for, but we must come up with something that will cause us to become cohesive and rise up against the opposition. And the opposition has nothing in store for you and me, but death. I just don't mm-hmm. know another way that we can explain it and be clear. Oh, my. I started to say boom, chaka-laka, cracker, but I will not. But on that strength, for the discipline of it all, for the common sense of it all, we must stay ready for the revolution. Because revolution is going to knock when you're least expected. And all I ask you to do is be ready for the revolution. My. And if you have any last closing statements, if Dr. Nakisha, are you still there? She fade from the set. If she's still there, 310 at 957, are you still live on Black Power Radio? Could be related to the controls or something. Yes. Mm-hmm. Are you still there? Go right ahead. You can give your closing comments, closing information, and Let them know where to catch you on your station, whatever. Rap it like it's hot. This is Black Power Radio.
All right, Ms. Scott. I think she's out for the count. Well, we just say our last musical bit. One of my mentors, someone that I really looked up to, not only his music inspired others, I wasn't really a fan of his music, but who he was as an urban developer. Nipsey Hussle, as he was to Buy the Block a week before his demise. And that's something that we'll cover in the month of April in his anniversary. The Marathon store is actually where he purchased and had his Marathon clothing line that is being repaired and supposed to be reopening back. So Black Sam, his brother, looking forward to hopefully seeing that shop the way that it should be, and Black Sam to carry on the legacy that Nipsey has. So I'm going to play one of my favorite songs. Hustle and Motivate. Here we go.
I can feel a vibe, hustle on the ride. Slip a lot of mine, I'm gonna let it die. All she want is time, all she want is time. Look me in my eyes, call me on my lies. Lock the city down till the summertime. Time to slice these niggas up from humble pie. Grab out the forest, let my young and dry. Elevate my game for the hundredth time. You can hold me down through these troubled times. Be another victim to my stubborn pride. Hold me down through these troubled times. Be another victim to my stubborn pride. Stuck in the ground. Stuck in the ground. Stuck in the ground. Look me in my eyes, call me on my lies. Stuck in this ground, stuck in this ground. Middle of the night, catch the lights is on. Roll me up a back, then I light the stove. Try to stay calm when the price is off. Die, die alone, I set my life before. High score, I go to speak in hyperball. Translation, use the money, never wipe a hoe. Set the score already, now it's time to go. Show the four already, where these hurts you go? Crashed out of opinions, how my life should go. I'm screaming, fuck him, like you're stuck and thinking got a nice, you know. Bullet, rain on him, cut the life support. My section robbing sport, every night of course. Niggas dying every day, that's the price of war. Gang members, $50,000 up the night in stores. Levitate on five-star luxury. Every time I ride, shit come for me. Stuck in the ground. Stuck in the ground, stuck in the ground. Look me in my eyes, call me on my lies. Stuck in this ground, I'm stuck in this ground. Let's make a movie, take the top off. About to cross over like hot dog. All this gutter shit, I never hopped off. Most calculated move by far. Always with a model in a fly car. 30,000 for the fight time. Rockin' these odds, drinking white wine. Listening in my lifetime, in the nighttime. Looking at the sticky skyline, getting sky high. Just a little bitch to pop eyes. She was top five, excitement that she get from pop life. Can never stop mine. Once she gets the hustle locked down, you can stockpile. Level up another notch now, like a stock now. Every time I take the top down, she starts to eyebrow. Turning up the music hot now, she feel alive now. Love me like we from a small town, let's make them all around. You splurge, y'all splurge. You all later and we ball now. Stuck in the ground. Stuck in the ground. Stuck in the ground. Look me in my eyes, call me on my lies. Stuck in this ground. I'm stuck in this ground. Ain't no going back once the lights on you. Left the dorm in the middle of the night, homie. After David's going viral, that's your life, homie. Ain't no point of even trying to lie, homie. So after all that, say why, homie. Step before the sign of you should die, homie. Fuck you niggas, you disrespect the tribe, homie. Won't be crying, it's threatening all of your lives, homie. Stuck in the ground. Stuck in the ground, I'm stuck in the ground. Look me in my eyes, call me on my lies. I'm stuck in this ground, I'm stuck in this ground. Yeah. December 1st, 2007.
Well, that's Nipsey, Stuck in the Grind, one of our classics. So thanks again for joining us this Sunday on Black Power Radio, where we had our special guest queen, Nikisha Scott, Live Your Life, youth mentorship program, doing big things in the community. And we want to continue to support her, so check back with us. We will have a campaign date because this election for her candidacy in Neighborhood City Council, I don't think it's over. I think we need to make a clear, make our voice be heard concerning what's needed in our community. And no one, especially a community activist born and raised in that city, should have an opportunity to represent their city the right way. So that's just my two cents. Hey, this is so
hey, I didn't go nowhere. I was just on mute. But thank you guys for having me on.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me on, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you, no Queen. Keep doing your work.
We enjoyed having you.
We got you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. Can't stop, won't stop.
That's right. That's right. Quickly, can you tell us if there's any upcoming events or any way that you anything you'd like to advertise as far as what's happening in the next couple
as
months?
Of right now, as of right now, just my regular Saturdays give out. I'm thinking of putting some together for Black History Month for next month, maybe like the last weekend of that month, the last Saturday. I did just have a big homeless event in December where we had the portable showers, had someone to cut hair. It was big. It was real nice. So my next theme is possible, a Black History program or event. That's if I get the proper funding for the things that I'm going to need for the kids for that day.
Right on. And we're going to get it. Right on.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, my mom.
So we're so grateful for you to be on, and we want more sisters like you. If you have a nonprofit, if you're doing things in your community, come on, Black Vibe Radio. This is the platform where we highlight our queens and our kings doing big things in the community, and we must continue to leave a legacy for our youth. And I'm so proud of you, Nakisha, and your kids as well, all three of them focused absolutely on the goalposts of what they want to do. So you did a good job.
Thank you so
absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely.
Don't be a stranger.
We'll never
all
be
the
a stranger.
And negate the negative, and we are on time. As we know, on this radio show, all that we have said and all we can say, which dare delay, but be in L.A., in Leimert Park, May 19, 20, and 21. And you have already got your special invite, right, Nakisha Scott? You have your invite?
Yes.
Very special dinner on May 22nd in Los Angeles at a predisclosed location that's right beneath the Blue Lagoon, beneath the Purple Moon. We'll be in L.A., and don't you dare delay, and don't you miss it. You'll be there. I'll be goddamn it square. We're going to be there in L.A. for the Malcolm El Haji Malika Shabazz week. I'm going to take a week and just donate it to our noble scholar and person worthy of all recognition for his works. And one brother explains it that no Malcolm X, no Black Panther. We'll revisit that tomorrow at the same, on this very same radio station at Black Power Radio. We're so proud to have had you all. Giving it all up for the Black Panther women and all that they do, and keeping it black, keeping it strong, and by all means keeping it revolutionary, knowing that whatever we have said, our beloved brother Marvin Gaye says it best, keep it black and strong.
He gave us everything. Love your mother, love your brother, 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 love your